Call the roll.
Convening roll call for the 10th day, Friday, February 23rd, 2018. Allen. Barlow. Biteman. Blackburn. Blackburn. Blake. Bovee. Bovee. Brown. Burkhart. Burkhart. Do you want me to leave the roll open? Bird. Clausen. Clem. Connolly. Court. Crank. Dayton. Edwards excused. Eklund. Ayer. Flitner. Freeman. Furphy. Grew. Gray. Greer. Haley. Hallinan. Halverson. Henderson. Hunt. Jennings. Kinner. Kirkbride. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lone. Laux. McGuire. Madden. Miller. Nicholas. Northrup. Obermuller. Olson. Paxton. Pelkey. Piperinen. Ponell. Salazar. Schwartz. Simpson. Summers. Steinmetz. Stiff. Sweeney. Walters. Wilson. Winters. Zwanitzer. Mr. Speaker.
And we're joined again this Friday morning by the Reverend Bob Thompson from First Presbyterian Church. So if you'd please stand and he'll lead us in our daily prayer.
Good morning. Thank you for the privilege of praying for you this week. Today, as I lead you in a guided prayer, I'm going to invite you to silently pray or think about specific people in your life. Hear these words from Psalm 136. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Almighty God, we praise you for being present in our lives and caring for us as family. We rejoice at the blessings you bring into our lives and the path that you have set before us, the path that gives life. Lord, we humbly come before you as people in need of your care and in need of your love. As these representatives gather here today, their work set before them, they have many things on their minds and many people whom they care about in their lives. Hear our silent prayers as we lift up to you the people in the communities that they represent. For those whom they know who are grieving or who are sick. Hear these prayers for their families. Hear the prayers for each other in the room, for the representatives on their right and on their left. For their fellow workers in this building. Hear our prayers for those we disagree with. Hear these prayers for themselves and for their health. Gracious God, I lift up to you each person in this room. Surround them with your loving and strengthening arms. Guide them in their discussions and deliberations. Be with these men and women in their service to this state. Empower them for the work that is before them today. All these prayers and thoughts we lift up to you, O God. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. To the Republic. republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, we left the roll open because our Appropriations Committee was still working. They're back with us now, and so we'll finish the roll.
Burkhart?
Here.
Larson Lloyd?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Schwartz?
Here.
Summers?
Here.
Walters?
Here.
Wilson? We have 59 present, one excused.
Next order of business is the Journal Committee report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 22, 2018 has been read and recommends it be approved. Signed, Representative Gray and Representative Guru.
Messages from the Senate.
February 22, 2018, message number 166. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. Senate file number 96, Early Childhood Education, ayes 15, noes 15. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Our doctor of the day is Dr. Doug Parks from here in the University of Wyoming Family Medical Residency. And our nurse of the day is from the Wyoming State Board of Nursing here in Cheyenne, Jennifer Burns. So welcome to the house and thank you. We're at that order of business of Senate files on first reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 19.
Senate File 19, introduced by Judy Sherry.
First reading of the bill.
Senate File 19, Uniformity and Domestic Violence Law.
Senate File 19 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 20.
Senate File 20, introduced by Judiciary.
First reading of the bill.
Custody in the Best Interest of the Children, sponsored by Judiciary.
Senate File 20 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next Senate file for our consideration is Senate File 21.
Senate File 21, introduced by Judiciary.
First reading of the bill.
Required reports and adoptions, sponsored by Judiciary.
Senate File 21 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 24.
Senate File 24, introduced by Judiciary.
First reading of the bill.
Court Information Technology Equipment.
Senate File 24 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 25.
Senate File 25, introduced by Judiciary.
First reading of the bill.
Corrections, exception to defense of habitation law.
Senate File 25 is referred to Committee Number 1, Judiciary. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 2.
Senate File 2, introduced by Management Council.
First reading of the bill.
Legislative budget.
Senate File 2 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 31.
Senate File 31, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs.
First reading of the bill.
Veterans Skilled Nursing Center.
Senate File 31 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 44.
Senate File 44, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources.
First reading of the bill.
Fire Protection Revolving Account.
Senate File 44 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 81.
Senate File 81, introduced by Appropriations.
First reading of the bill.
Game and Fish Department, Budget Requests.
Senate File 81 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 82.
Senate File 82, introduced by Appropriations.
First reading of the bill.
Miners Hospital Board account.
Senate File 82 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 89.
Senate File 89, introduced by Appropriations.
First reading of the bill.
Local Government Distributions.
Senate File 89 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 90.
Senate File 90, introduced by Appropriations.
First reading of the bill.
First Judicial District, number of district judges.
Senate File 90 is referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 26.
Senate File 26, introduced by Revenue.
First reading of the bill.
Nationwide Multi-State Licensing System, Collection Agencies.
Senate File 26 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 27.
Senate File 27, introduced by Revenue.
First reading of the bill.
Excise Tax Audits.
Senate File 27 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 50.
Senate File 50, introduced by Revenue.
First reading of the bill.
Collection of State Financial Obligations.
Senate File 50 is referred to Committee Number 3, Revenue. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 29.
Senate File 29, introduced by Education.
First reading of the bill.
Education, Computer Science and Computational Thinking.
Senate File 29 is referred to Committee Number 4, Education. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 53.
Senate File 53, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources.
First reading of the bill.
Small water projects.
Senate File 53 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 54.
Senate File 54, introduced by Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources.
First reading of the bill.
Water development project requirements.
Senate File 54 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agricultural, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 55.
Senate File 55, introduced by Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources.
First reading of the bill.
Water Development Account 3.
Senate File 55 is referred to Committee Number 5, Agricultural, State, Public Lands and Water Resources. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File Number 3.
Senate File Number 3, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources.
First reading of the bill.
Antelope Hunt Licenses.
Senate File Number 3 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 4.
Senate File 4, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources.
First reading of the bill.
Regulation of Bingo and Pull Tab Games.
Senate File 4 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 5.
Senate File 5, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources.
First reading the bill.
Medicine Lodge State Archaeological Site.
Senate File 5 is referred to Committee Number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 6.
Senate File 6, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services.
First reading of the bill.
Real Estate Exemption Restoration.
Senate File 6 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections and Political Subdivisions. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 7.
Senate File 7, introduced by Corporations, Elections and Political Subdivisions.
First reading the bill.
Insurance, Corporate Governance, Annual Disclosure.
Senate File 7 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 8.
Senate File 8, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions.
First reading the bill.
Insurance, Audited Annual Financial Reports.
Senate File 8 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. The next Senate file for our consideration is Number 9.
Senate File 9, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions.
Senate File 9 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 10.
Senate File 10, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions.
First reading of the bill.
Utilities, rate making.
Senate File 10 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. The next Senate file for our consideration is Number 11.
Senate File 11, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions.
First reading of the bill.
Public Utility Regulation, Joint Powers Entities.
Senate File 11 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 12.
Senate File 12, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions.
First reading of the bill.
Public Service Commission, Member Qualifications.
Senate File 12 is referred to Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 32.
Senate File 32, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs.
First reading of the bill.
Criminal Record Dissemination, Military Department.
Senate File 32 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 33.
Senate File 33, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs.
First reading of the bill.
Military Member Spouse and Children, Resident Tuition.
Senate File 33 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 34.
Senate File 34, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs.
First reading of the bill.
Military Spouse Unemployment Sunset Repeal.
Senate File 34 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 35.
Senate File 35, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs.
First reading of the bill.
Military Service Relief Act, Additional Protections.
Senate File 35 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 36.
Senate File 36, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs.
First reading of the bill.
Veterans Tuition Program Limits.
Senate File 36 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 37.
Senate File 37, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs.
First reading of the bill.
Purple Heart Day and State.
Senate File 37 is referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 16.
Senate File 16, introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development.
First reading of the bill.
Financial Assurance, Class 1 and 5, UIC Wells.
Senate File 16 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 18.
Senate File 18, introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development.
First reading of the bill.
Orphan Site Remediation Funding.
Senate File 18 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 69.
Senate File 69, introduced by Minerals, Business, and Economic Development.
First reading of the bill.
2018 Large Project Funding.
Senate File 69 is referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development. The next and final Senate file for our consideration is Senate File Number 75.
Senate File Number 75, introduced by Senator Baldwin.
Senate File, first reading of the bill.
Biological Products, Pharmacies.
Senate File 75 is referred to Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services.
Does this go under?
Yes.
We're still waiting on one report from a standing committee, so we're going to move to bills on second reading. Okay, we only have 64 bills on second reading. Okay, we're at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 2.
House Bill 2, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, an act relating to election law violations, penalties, and enforcement.
House Bill 2, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 3.
House Bill 3, introduced by Representative Paxton, County Clerk Map Recording Fees, Conforming Amendment, an act relating to county fees.
Having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 6.
House Bill 6, sponsored by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, an act relating to public records.
House Bill 6, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 10.
House Bill 10, sponsored by Joint Labor, Health, and Social Services, an act relating to workers' compensation.
House Bill 10, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 13.
House Bill 13, sponsored by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Municipal Extraterritorial Jurisdiction Repeal, an act relating to municipalities.
House Bill 13, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 14.
House Bill 14, sponsored by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, Municipal Jurisdiction, an act relating to municipalities.
House Bill 14, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 17.
House Bill 17, sponsored by Judiciary, Child Support Amendments, an act relating to child support.
We have amendments. Representative Pelkey.
Withdrawn.
Without objection, second reading amendment number one has been withdrawn. We have another amendment. Representative Stiff.
Mr. Speaker, as much as we would like to go through this chart, withdrawn.
Second reading amendment number two has been withdrawn. Having been read two separate times, House Bill 17, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 18.
House Bill 18, sponsored by Labor, Health, and Social Services, Non-Resident Employer Bonding, an act relating to labor and employment.
House Bill 18, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 22.
House Bill 22, introduced by Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, Quebec One Missile Alert Facility Fees, an act relating to state parks and historic sites.
House Bill 22, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 26.
House Bill 26, sponsored by Judiciary, Post-Conviction Relief, an act relating to criminal procedure.
House Bill 26, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 31.
House Bill 31, sponsored by Representative Henderson, Hathaway Scholarship Application Deadline Extension, an act relating to the Hathaway Scholarship Program.
House Bill 31, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 32.
House Bill 32, sponsored by School Facilities, School Finance, Major Maintenance Formula, an act relating to school finance.
House Bill 32, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 33.
House Bill 33, sponsored by School Facilities, school finance, capital construction amendments, an act relating to school buildings and facilities.
House Bill 33, haven't been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 35.
House Bill 35, sponsored by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Motor Club Services Update, an act relating to insurance.
House Bill 35, haven't been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 36. We have an amendment. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Folks, I move second reading amendment number one to House Bill 36 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, it doesn't change the language at all. I have to say I voted no on introduction mainly because as I was reading along on, you know, how we go at great pace on introduction, and I was looking on page two, and I read this bit about lanes traveling, and I kind of went off and thinking of the asphalt moving, and I was so distracted that I voted no. So it being curmudgeonly, which we haven't had that word yet this session, so I thought I'd insert that. You know, I got my old teacher red pen out, and all I'm really trying to do is make the language a little clearer to people like me that think of gridlock and get confused in statute, which statute being clear is always good. So if you vote aye, which I hope you will, it just makes the language better to my take. So if you look on page 2, and I'll try to do this kind of quickly, line 15, it says, when driving on an interstate highway or other highway with two or more lanes traveling in the direction, I thought, well, how did the lanes travel? So on line 16, I insert the word and. So when you're driving on this and you're traveling, to make it clear it's you that's moving and not the lane. And then on line 18, I have deleted a moving lane, which I wasn't really sure what a moving lane is, if it's, you know, a bigger version of a moving van, or so I changed that to lane of traffic. And then on page 3, line 6, I just took part of the sentence in lines 7 and 8 and moved it up to make it read better. So we have, when an authorized municipal public utility or highway construction or maintenance vehicle, then I picked up from the next line, is stopped or is moving, and so on. I'll let you read that there. And then a little further down the next paragraph, I repeated the line of, or the lane of traffic and the moving lane business. So I think this is probably the first time in 6 years I've ever attempted to do anything to a Transportation Committee bill because it's really not my thing. But it was just, I thought, bad grammar, and so my red pen came out, and I hope you'll vote aye.
Discussion. Question being called. Chairman Acklin.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, this is a friendly amendment, and I wish all statute law flowed together as well as my colleague over here would like for it to as well. So this is a good thing.
Question being called. We are voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 36. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no. The amendment has been adopted. We need to still read House Bill 36 two times. I think I got ahead of myself.
House Bill 36, sponsored by Travel, Recreation, and Wildlife and Cultural Resources. Move over requirement, an act relating to the regulation of traffic on highways.
House Bill 36 hasn't been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 39.
House Bill 39, sponsored by Representative Blake, Wildlife Conservation License Plates, an act relating to motor vehicle license plates.
House Bill 39, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 41.
House Bill 41, introduced by Representative Miller, Hemp Extract Revisions, an act relating to public health.
House Bill 41, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 42.
House Bill 42, sponsored by Judiciary, Justice Reform, Graduated Sanctions, an act relating to criminal procedure and sentencing.
We have an amendment. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move a second reading amendment number one to House Bill 42 and ask for your favorable consideration. All this does is make sure that they are going to contract with Wyoming County jails and not be able to ship these folks out of state, and they probably wouldn't, but I wanted to make it darn sure that they kept them in state and kept funding these, helping out these communities. And based on testimony, I think there is capacity, so it shouldn't be a concern. Please vote aye.
Any further discussion? Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number one to House Bill 42. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say no. Second reading amendment number one has been adopted. House Bill 42, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 53.
House Bill 53, sponsored by School Finance, State Educational Program, an act relating to education.
We have an amendment, Representative Clem.
Mr. Speaker, I withdraw the amendment.
Second reading amendment number one has been withdrawn. Having been read two separate times, House Bill 53, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 55.
House Bill 55, sponsored by Representative Clem, Party Offenses, an act relating to offenses against property.
House Bill 55, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 58.
House Bill 58, sponsored by Representative Haley, Game Animal Licenses Limitations, an act relating to game and fish.
House Bill 58, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 61.
House Bill 61, sponsored by Representative Pelkey, Roadside Waiver of Property Rights Prohibited, an act relating to the Wyoming Controlled Substance Act.
House Bill 61, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 64.
House Bill 64, sponsored by Representative Blake, Use of Hemp Extracts, an act relating to public health and safety.
House Bill 64, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 66.
House Bill 66, sponsored by Agriculture, State and Public Lands, and Water Resources, Purchase of Water Rights and Facilities, an act relating to water projects.
House Bill 66, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 69.
House Bill 69, sponsored by Representative Steinmetz, Impersonation Through Electronic Means, Spoofing, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
House Bill 69, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 77.
House Bill 77, sponsored by Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, In-Stream Flow Consultant, an act relating to water.
House Bill 77, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 84.
House Bill 84, sponsored by Representative Larson, Lloyd, Approval of Bridge Designs, Plans, and Specifications, an act related to highways.
House Bill 84, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration. Is House Bill 86.
House Bill 86, sponsored by Representative Stitt, Medicaid Birth Cost Recovery, an act relating to welfare.
House Bill 86, having been read two separate times, question is, shall a bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 93.
House Bill 93, sponsored by Representative Winters, Speeding Fines Amendments 2, an act relating to the regulation of traffic on highways.
House Bill 93, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 99.
House Bill 99, sponsored by Representative Barlow, Prescription and Possession of FDA-Approved Drugs, an act relating to controlled substances.
House Bill 99, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 100.
House Bill 100, sponsored by Representative Salazar, State Emergency Response Commission Membership, an act relating to public health and safety.
House Bill 100, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 103.
House Bill 103, sponsored by Representative Edwards, Wyoming Legal Tender Act, an act relating to administration of the government.
House Bill 103, haven't been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 106.
House Bill 106, sponsored by Representative Crank. Municipal Court Authority, conditional suspension of fines, an act relating to municipal courts.
House Bill 106, haven't been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 108.
House Bill 108, sponsored by Representative Olson. Estelle Real, an act relating to the Office of State Superintendent of Public Instruction.
House Bill 108, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 114.
House Bill 114, sponsored by Representative Pelkey. Expungement of Juvenile Records, an act relating to criminal procedure and juveniles.
House Bill 114, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 117.
House Bill 117, sponsored by Representative Biteman. Domestic abuse, adverse landlord actions and phone numbers, an act relating to domestic abuse and sexual violence.
House Bill 117, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 119.
House Bill 119, sponsored by Representative Olson. Genetic information privacy, an act relating to genetic information privacy.
House Bill 119, haven't been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 122.
House Bill 122, sponsored by School Finance. Special Educators, Workers' Compensation, an act relating to workers' compensation.
House Bill 122, haven't been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 125.
House Bill 125, sponsored by Representative Overmuller. Wyoming Lottery Revenues, an act relating to the Wyoming Lottery.
House Bill 125, haven't been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 129.
House Bill 129, sponsored by Representative Kirkbride. Glider Kit Vehicles, Title and Registration, an act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill 129, haven't been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 130.
House Bill 130, sponsored by Representative Henderson. State Fair Endowment, an act relating to the State Fair.
House Bill 130, haven't been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 133.
House Bill 133, sponsored by Representative Steinmetz. Display of National Motto, an act relating to flags and symbols.
We have an amendment. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I respectfully withdraw my amendment.
Second reading, amendment number one to House Bill 133 has been withdrawn. House Bill 133, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 135.
House Bill 135, sponsored by Representative Schwartz. Housing Authorities, an act relating to municipalities and counties.
House Bill 135, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 141.
House Bill 141, sponsored by Representative Laux. Concealed Weapons in Places of Worship, an act relating to weapons.
House Bill 141, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 144.
House Bill 144, sponsored by Representative Olson. Wyoming Invests Now Exemption Amendments, an act relating to the Uniform Securities Act.
House Bill 144, haven't been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 146.
House Bill 146, sponsored by Representative Connolly, Equal Pay Penalties, an act relating to labor and employment.
House Bill 146, haven't been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 152.
House Bill 152, sponsored by Representative Harshman, Wind Energy Equipment Storage, an act relating to property tax.
House Bill 152, haven't been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it's so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 153.
House Bill 153, sponsored by Representative Harshman, Hathaway Expand Wyoming Scholarships, an act relating to education.
House Bill 153, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 156.
House Bill 156, sponsored by Representative Zwanitzer, State Songs, an act relating to the state song.
House Bill 156, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 157.
House Bill 157, sponsored by Representative Bovee, Healthcare Providers Sexual Assault Protections 2, an act relating to healthcare providers.
House Bill 157, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 162.
House Bill 162, sponsored by Representative Walters, Penitentiary Savings Fund Amendments, an act relating to the Wyoming State Penitentiary.
House Bill 162, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 163.
House Bill 163, sponsored by Representative Nicholas, Physician Non-Compete Clause, an act relating to professions and occupations.
House Bill 163, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 164.
House Bill 164, sponsored by Representative Greer, Overweight Vehicles Agriculture Exemption, an act relating to motor vehicles.
House Bill 164, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 168.
House Bill 168, sponsored by Representative Salazar, Stand Your Ground 2, an act relating to crimes and civil liability.
House Bill 168, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 170.
House Bill 170, sponsored by Representative Clem, Wyoming Children's Trust Fund Amendments, an act relating to the Children's Trust Fund.
House Bill 170, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 172.
House Bill 172, sponsored by Representative Byrd, Produced Water Treatment, an act relating to oil and gas taxes.
House Bill 172, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 175.
House Bill 175, sponsored by Representative Northrop, Common College Transcripts, an act relating to community colleges and the University of Wyoming.
House Bill 175, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 186.
House Bill 186, sponsored by Representative Harshman, SIPA Guarantee, an act relating to public funds.
House Bill 186, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 191.
House Bill 191, sponsored by Representative Northrop, Termination of Parental Rights, Child Support Obligation, an act relating to termination of parental rights.
House Bill 191, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Bill 192.
House Bill 192, sponsored by Management Council, Legislator Communications on Recordings and Broadcasts, an act relating to the legislature.
House Bill 192, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 2.
House Joint Resolution 2, sponsored by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, Commercial Driver's License Compact Agreement, a joint resolution requesting Congress to enact legislation permitting Western states to enter into a voluntary compact to establish a graduated commercial driver's licensing program that would allow commercial drivers between 18 and 21 years of age to operate a commercial motor vehicle in a consenting contiguous state.
House Joint Resolution 2, having been read two separate times. Question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is House Joint Resolution 5.
House Joint Resolution 5, sponsored by Representative Summers, Yellowstone Wildlife Conservation Fee, a joint resolution to the United States Secretary of the Interior and the Director of the National Park Service relating to the imposition of wildlife conservation fee at Yellowstone National Park.
House Joint Resolution 5, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. The next bill and final bill for our consideration on second reading is House Joint Resolution 8.
House Joint Resolution 8, sponsored by Representative Allen, 150th anniversary of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Bridger, a joint resolution to commemorate the sequicentennial of the signing of the 1868 Treaty of Fort Bridger.
House Joint Resolution 8, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, is so ordered. We're going to pause for just a moment. We're waiting on one standing committee report. And we want to, before we can move past that, but before we move to third reading amendments on House Bill 1, I want to make sure the most recent list is submitted. So we'll just pause until the sound of the gavel. Okay, members, I think everyone has, and certainly up here we have the right list, and I think everyone has the right list. So we are at that order of business now on third reading amendments to House Bill 1. The first amendment for our consideration is Amendment Number 1. Do we need... Reading clerk, please read the bill.
House Bill 001, sponsored by Appropriations, General Government Appropriations, an act to make appropriations for the fiscal biennium commencing July 1st, 2018, and ending June 30th, 2020, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
We are on amendment, third reading amendment number one, Representative Gray.
It's my pleasure to move third reading amendment number one to House Bill 1. Chance for us to start out strong here today. We talked on Wednesday on second reading about a three-position reduction in the governor's office. It's an office that has increased 22 FTE, more than a doubling since the 01-02 biennium, the largest percentage increase in Wyoming state government of FTE since that period. So that failed on a pretty close vote, so I thought, okay, let's bring out the great compromiser here and come back with a one-position reduction. So this is a perfect time to do this during the transition. It's not personal. And, you know, it'll get that new governor off to a great start where the first day they can put out as part of their inaugural speech that they've already reduced government a little bit with a one-position reduction. So I think this is a slam dunk. I feel like one of those basketball. I'm a pretty small guy, so I don't play basketball, but I feel like one of those alley hoops. I'm like, I'm passing it up there on a lob, and all we got to do is slam it home. So let's vote aye on amendment number one.
Representative Bartle, can you...
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr.
Your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, I just want to make sure that we understand clearly that this growth in the governor's office since 2001, 20 of those positions are Homeland Security. They didn't exist before then. So I don't want people who are listening at home in Wyoming today to think that we have grown somehow just the governor's office. And I think it's so to really talk about this governor who has cut more money from the budget than probably all governors in the history of the state combined, I think it's important to realize when he took office 8 years ago, there were not counting Homeland Security, 25 positions, right? And today there's 19. It's 19 folks working in that office. So we've had these reductions. I would say this again about Homeland Security. When he took office, I think there were over 20, 22 or 23. Now there's 20. And so I just think I want to put that all in perspective. And I think you could even say that if you look in the governor's residence budget. That's reduced one from three to two. And so I just want to make sure we've got the right we have the right information so it's the right narrative. 20 of those positions are Homeland Security. And there was 25 when this governor took office. There are now 19. And so I'd urge your resistance to the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On and against the amendment, we brought in the budget bill, your appropriations brought a 300 series that basically asks state agencies to cut 50 positions and do it over time and in a more thoughtful manner. And we don't know what position this is. Why is it unnecessary? There's been none of that explained. You know, if you want to identify a specific position and why it is unnecessary, that's one thing. But on and against this amendment.
Representative Lindholm.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I got to push back against my good seatmate there a little bit. You know, something we did is we directed the governor's office to look for 75 positions in the state of Wyoming. Remember this? This is not that long ago. 75 positions. We didn't say what they had to be or what agency or anything like that. That's the executive's job. This is directing the executive to find one more in his own office. Same thing that we asked him to do. Simple vote aye.
Anyone else for their first time? Okay, moving on to our second time. Fake me out there. Moving to the mic. Okay. Moving to our second time. Any members of second time for the sponsor? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So pushing back a little bit on this. So again, there's been an increase outside of those Homeland Security positions, and this doesn't touch the Homeland Security positions. I encourage you to look at lines 1 through 3. It is in the administrative line item of the budget. So this isn't about Homeland Security. The other thing, I'd like to push back a little bit on the micromanagement. If you identify a position and it's micromanagement, if you say, okay, let's let the executive do this and really make this decision and evaluate which is the one to do it, then you aren't identifying what to reduce. So it's kind of circular, that critique. And so this is the way to do it, to let the executive decide on their own. It was the chairman of appropriations and encouraged me to bring this amendment. And encourage an aye vote. This is a slam dunk, and it'll be incorporated into the governor's first speech, and he'll say, look, we're starting strong on efficiencies with the one position reduction. Thank you.
We are voting on amendment number one. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
Chairs in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. We need to stretch anyway. All those opposed, please stand. Less than 31. Okay. Amendment number one has been adopted. The next amendment for our consideration. Number one has a reduction in general fund. We will require a roll call vote. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Amendment number one, Allen.
No.
No, Barlow.
Aye.
Biteman. Aye. Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Brown.
No.
No. Burkhart. No. Bird.
Aye.
Clausen. No. Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
No.
Crank.
No.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards excused. Eklund.
No.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Haley. No. Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner. No. Kirkbride. No. Larson Lloyd. No. Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux.
Aye.
McGuire. No. Madden. No. Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas. Nicholas. No. Northrup. No. Obermuller. No. Olson. No. Paxton. No. Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell. No. Salazar. No. Schwartz. Aye. Simpson. Aye. Summers. No. Steinmetz. Aye. Stith. Aye. Sweeney. No. Walters. No. Wilson. No. Winters. Aye. Zawanitzer. Aye. Mr. Speaker. No. Closing vote. Are there any changes? Flitner, aye to no. Salazar, no to aye. Further, Henderson, aye to no. Further changes. Closing vote. The vote is closed. 33 aye, 26 no, 1 excused.
Having received an affirmative vote by the majority of the members present, third reading amendment number 1 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 2. Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill number 1. And ladies and gentlemen of the 64th, what this does is we're trying to restore full funding to the tribal liaison program. And so for some of you that may be new, what that does is that is in the governor's office. It is an employee of the governor who is a liaison to both of the tribes, the Shoshone and the Arapaho, who are sovereign. And the state of Wyoming provides services and contracts with the tribes to ensure that they have social and other services, DFS and so forth. And so what the deal is with this is that this is an employee of the governor. It is not a lobbyist for either tribe. But the one tribe, the Shoshone, they haven't put forth any names to the governor for possible picks for that position because they just don't think that a half-time job will do the trick. So when this program was first started, it was funded at a full state government funding scenario. And through the years, it has been cut in half. And so right now the current situation is that the Arapaho tribe has a half-time employee. The governor has a half-time employee that works with the Arapaho tribe. There is nobody in the governor's office that is working for the Shoshone tribe to ensure that DFS contracts and some of the others are that the tribes are in compliance with these state requirements with these contracts. So we see this as a move to ensure people are getting the services and that the contracts are in compliance or that the recipients are in compliance with the contracts. So what this does is it takes money out of DFS and puts it over into this program so that those contracts can be in compliance. And so I would urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against, we don't know where exactly this money is being taken from DFS. It's just going to come out of their budget somewhere. I guess the second thing is, and I don't know why the thought never occurred to me until now, but we are dealing with two sovereigns, and I don't know if these sovereigns have pitched in any money themselves. I mean, as far as dealing with another sovereign, you would think that they would have some responsibility themselves as far as payment for a position or a liaison or some kind of, for lack of a better term, diplomat to speak with the state of Wyoming. I don't know why Wyomingites, taxpayers, have to foot the complete bill. And I think if we're going to deal with other sovereigns, then those other sovereigns should be responsible and foot part of the bill. And so with that, on and against.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I find myself kind of in an awkward position because I chaired the Select Committee on the relations with those two sovereign nations. And I understand what my good colleague from Fremont County is doing, but my biggest concern is the damage that it's going to do back to those two sovereign nations, and I'll explain that. Before I do, I would just like to explain some rationale what the the previous speaker pointed out on having those two sovereigns participate, is this is the governor's liaison. We want these individuals, whomever they may be, to work for the governor and not be influenced by the desires or projects that whoever's funding them would be proposing. And so we want them to represent the state in our relationship with them and not vice versa. So now let me tell you why I object to this money. As the last speaker indicated, this is coming out of the Department of 049, Department of Family Services, and it's in the Assistance and Services Programs. And in that, we have a contract to fund the Department of Family Services both for each of those tribes. So if I was the department and I was going to determine where this reduction in my budget is going to come from, I would look at where the money went to. And it went back for tribal relations interests. And so I would suspect that I would be taking that then from tribal interests on the other side of the ledger sheet. And my concern is if we pass this, that the greater impact is going to be on the children of the tribes. And for that reason, I would suggest that you oppose the amendment.
Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is very much similar to that. I'd like to know what part of line item number, or line 10 on 34, you're going to get the money for the $160,000. I mean, there's child care assistance in there, local services. And where's that money intended to come from?
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just rise in support of this amendment. And, yeah, I'm torn. I'm on the select tribal also. But I think it's a good deal. We need to show good faith to the Shoshone tribe. And please vote aye.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against. And, folks, you'll notice as you go through these that some of these bills have the daily double. So if you get you kill one, and then another one comes up right behind it. It's kind of like the look at this hand and then don't look at this hand. So just watch that as this goes through, because the next one's going to look a lot like this. But, ladies and gentlemen, my opposition to this is that in working with the governor's office and actually seeing what these folks on the ground do, And the reason that the funding is where it is, these are not full-time positions. It's one of those things that if you look at the services provided and what they do and how often they're here and how often they're there and where they show up and when they show up, they're not full-time positions. And the idea that we need to do it because they're a sovereign is really not the question that's in front of us. On and against.
Any other members for the first time? Any other members first time moving to second time before the sponsor? Seeing none. Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I realize those are all good arguments. I get that. But this is really an important relationship thing. It's not only contract compliance, it's goodwill, it's good faith. They are citizens of of Wyoming and the United States. And so why are we doing this? They want a tribal liaison, and they want that position funded fully because it's an important position. So I don't know how else I can urge you to vote for it, but do what you need to do. I appreciate it. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment. Excuse me. We are voting on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Second reading amendment. Third reading amendment number 2 has failed. Members, we're going to pause. We have a special guest here today. We're going to pause in our third reading amendments. Gives me great honor and privilege to welcome Wyoming Senator Mike Enzi back to his home here in the Wyoming legislature.
Thank you. Thank you.
I just want to, Senator Enzi, and I just want to remind all the House members that Senator Enzi, of course, began his service in the Wyoming legislature in the Wyoming House.
Yes.
1987 to 1991. And of course, I have this long list of chairmanships, and of course, we know your work on the budget to try to bring Wyoming's budget practices to Washington. So I won't read your long, distinguished list here, but I just want to say from the House of Representatives, welcome home.
Thank you. Mr. Speaker, members of this august body, it's always a pleasure to come back here and watch you at work, see people actually sitting at their desks, actually voting, actually doing some voice votes. We do roll call votes on rather insignificant things, and at a 15-minute roll call takes 45 minutes. And then if we stack the votes, we make the ones after that just be 15-minute votes, and they only take 30 minutes. So it's a very tedious process, and then we have cloture, and you can have cloture even to decide whether you're going to get to debate a bill. And if you get cloture to go to debate a bill, then there's 30 hours of debate on whether you ought to be able to debate the bill or not. And at the end of that time, you have to have cloture again to see if you can actually go to the bill. And that requires another 30 hours. And then at the end of it, there can be another cloture. And that would also take 30 hours. Now, the amazing part of that is we go through that for nominations as well. It takes a week to put a person through a nomination if there isn't cooperation on getting them. And it doesn't appear to matter how far down the list we go, we still have to go through this tedious process with them. And I figured up about a month ago, the nominations we have left to do for this president will only take us 9 years to accomplish. Now, under the Constitution, he can't be there 9 years, but we're having some difficulties in hoping to be able to straighten those around. And I'll be taking lessons from the Wyoming legislature back to Washington to explain how things can be done and be done efficiently. Now, I have to bring you greetings from Eli Bebout, too. No booze. I understand there's always a little. I know from having served in the House and the Senate that there's a little bit of friction. In Washington, it's because of the distance between the two places. But I know that in Washington, we do a perfect bill and we send it to the House and the House screws it up, and vice versa. And it causes a lot of animosity. But we have an event in Wyoming that I hope all of you will encourage. It's called Congressional Awards. And it's an opportunity for young people to primarily do community service, but also to do some goal setting. And the community service, if they do 100 hours of community service, they can get a bronze medal from Congress. Congress doesn't pay for it. There's no money from Congress in this at all. We have to do a fundraiser for it to be able to get the medals for our kids. If they do another 100 hours, they can get a silver medal, and 200 more hours, they can get a gold medal. And I am proud to tell you that Wyoming has more gold medal recipients than any other state. Yeah. Now, here's the part that really deserves applause. That was not per capita. We are the lowest population state, and we have the most participating kids. Yeah. Yeah. And we think that starts a habit of community service. And Wyoming is a state of communities. People know who their neighbors are, and they help each other out. And they know if somebody's stranded between towns, they need the help. And so our whole delegation encourages that. And a number of you participate in the one fundraiser we do, which is a golf tournament in Jackson in August. Well, we do a couple of other auctions, too, and Eli bid on one of the auction items at the last one we had, and as the numbers went up, he said, if Diana Enzi would throw in some cookies, I'll put in, I think he said, another $1,000. And so Diana agreed to buy some cookies. Now, she helps me out in Washington all the time. She flies back and forth with me, does most of the driving in Wyoming, and has a number of projects there, too. But she's also the best lobbyist through the spouses that anybody could possibly have. But she recognized clear back when I was mayor that there are a lot of people that get things done that aren't the elected people. And so she does a cookie event each year in Washington for all of the real workers of the Senate, the plumbers and the electricians and the guards and the waiters and all of those things. So she bakes 200 dozen cookies each year to have a little celebration for those people. And they start asking us in August if we're going to do it again. it's the only recognition that they actually get. So she threw in the cookies, and he reminded her earlier this week that she had not delivered yet. So she delivered this morning, and there's a portion that are in here in your break room and a portion that are in the Senate break room. So, yeah. Now, I know that you need to get back to budget, and that's one of my favorite things. I am the chairman of the budget. Budget in Washington is totally different than budget here. That's where we're supposed to set the spending limits and do the roadmap for how we get to balance. Now, here you're supposed to balance every 2 years. And out there, we can kind of pick what window we want out there. We balance, sort of, in 10 years. I've got people urging me to go to 20 years. I refuse to go to 20 years because here's the little trick that they do. They take the money from the last 2 years of the 10 years and they move it back to this year's spending. And it still balances. You just don't have that money out there. So when you get out to the last 2 years, there's not going to be money. That's where these deficits come from. So I'm trying to do a budget reform process so we'll get it back closer to what Wyoming's doing. There still has to be a transition to get from a $20 trillion debt to where you folks are. I've got a lot of ideas, and I'm gaining ground on it. One of the ways, of course, would be to go to biennial budgeting. And I use you as the example on that all of the time. And it can be done, and it can be done in a spirited but good way. The biggest thing that we did last year was a tax cut. And many of you should be realizing that at this point. Almost everyone should be. But there are two parts to it. One was to encourage the economy, and the other one was to give people more money to spend also to help the economy. So there's a business part of that, and on the business part, we're really seeing some tremendous returns already. In the first month, there's a thing called repatriation. That's where companies have their money overseas, and they haven't been willing to bring it back because they'd have to pay a 35% tax to bring it back besides the tax that they paid in that country. So we decided to give them a sale, a little bit of a bargain if they would bring it back. And they need to bring it back in the first 8 years. We didn't want it all at the same time because if we got it all at the same time, we'd spend it all at the same time. In the first month, one company brought back 10% of what we expected to have over the 10-year period. So it is working. There'll be other companies that will be doing that. You've probably seen the notices of some companies increasing their minimum wage, some giving bonuses. So the process is working, and I am convinced that we will have more revenue than we had before we did the tax cut. I studied back on to see what had happened on previous tax cuts because I knew that would come up, and yes, when they did previous tax cuts, there was more revenue. The difficulty was they spent twice as much as they took in. Now, with lotteries, they say that if you win the lottery, you'll wind up spending twice as much as what you got. Obviously, a tax cut's a lottery. So I've got to work through those problems, but I am pleased that we were able to get that done. Incidentally, that came through the budget in a unique process that we have where it can be done with 51 votes. But it has to have a budgetary impact, which is scoring. And here's how scoring works in Washington. This is kind of fascinating. We've got these companies that have their money overseas, and they're not bringing it back because they're not going to pay 35%. When we give them a discount and they bring it back, that actually costs me money. They're considered to have paid the full amount, and so if they get a lesser amount, that gets charged against the budget as a loss. And so that has to be overcome as well, but I found a way to do that too. So it's been fascinating, and had I not had the opportunity to have served here and in the Senate and learned legislating the way that it's supposed to be done, I would not have been able to do my job in Washington. I use the techniques that I got here, which one of them is, of course, that you have to talk to people individually if you really want their vote. and you have to watch for weasel words. Occasionally it sounds like a person's agreeing with you, when really what they're saying is, I haven't made up my mind yet, and I'm probably not going to vote for it, but this will sound nice to you. And there's a lot of that going on in Washington, so you got to keep hammering on it till you get them nailed down a little bit. And I, first time I went to the floor and did a speech, I noticed that there's nobody there listening. You know, it's not like here, we're in your desks and you're hearing the arguments. And I used to sell shoes, and I knew that if you didn't have somebody to talk to, you weren't selling anything. So I carry a list with me in my pocket of who I need to see each day on what issues I'm working on, and I'm doing my own little vote count on it, and you have to have a 30-second elevator speech to get their attention and hopefully to get their vote, and a lot of times that works. Other times you have to make an appointment to see them, but if nobody's listening, you need to find somebody to talk to. And I've been doing that. I do my own vote counts and can tell what'll happen. Big issue coming up is immigration. If we try to do it comprehensively, it will fail. Comprehensive means incomprehensible. It will be so big that nobody will know what's in there. And consequently, some people won't like this section and they'll vote against it, and some people won't like this section and they'll vote against it, and pretty quick you don't have a majority. Now, if you bite those off in logical pieces, in a progression, almost all of them will pass. But people will be able to explain their votes and what's in the bill. And that, again, is something that I learned working here. And I wish you good wishes for the budget. The state of Wyoming is relying on it. They don't realize the work that you have to go to, the number of hours that you put in down here, the excruciating decisions that you have to make, the research that you have to make without any staff to do it. One time I was complaining, I think it was when I was in the House, and a guy said, oh, just be quiet. The only place appreciation appears is in the dictionary. Well, I want you to know I appreciate what you do. I know what you do, and people should appreciate what you do, and they should look at the good and not what's often touted as the bad. Keep up the good work. Keep Wyoming going. I am so proud of you. Thank you.
I don't know that we've ever done this, Senator, but I think your composites, your group is right here, and I thought maybe we could take a picture in front of that. And,
okay.
Since you're back home here, I think you're right here, aren't you? I think you're right here.
I probably wouldn't even recognize my
It's right here.
Although I had white hair when I was here.
I just want to, so you can all hear me, on behalf of the House, to a fellow House member, Senator Enzi, we're really grateful for all your work. We understand that our small town of 500,000 people has absolutely the most incredible representation in the United States Senate. So we're grateful for your service. Any way we can help you and support you, please reach out to us. And And again, keep up the great work for not only Wyoming, but our great country. So thank you very much.
Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker and members of the 64th, I would like you like to introduce three people. First is my neighbor, Lars Baker, the mayor of Riverton. The second is Sean Peterson, a city council member. And the third is Tony Posted, our city administrator. So please welcome them to the House.
We have some young citizens out there in the gallery. Somebody's got to introduce them. Representative Paxton? Wilson.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Out in the gallery, folks, we have a whole bunch of students, fifth grade students from my district, Prairie Wind Elementary School, with their teachers, Ms. Peacock and Ms. Hume.
Hey!
Mr. Speaker, just for those of you who don't know, that's the new school that's been built on North Yellowstone just before you pick up I-25.
Okay, well, welcome to the House, and we really appreciate you being here today. Representative Paxton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
I have three very special guests with me here today. My grandson-in-law, Mark Grant, who is a former Lovell Bulldog and state champion wrestler, and his wife, my granddaughter, Kylie Jordan Grant, who is a former Encampment Tiger and was the second high three-point shooter when she was a senior in high school. And with them, they have my very special guest, my great-grandson, who is an eighth-generation Wyomingite, future linebacker for the University of Wyoming, Paxton Michael Grant.
Well, welcome to the House. Young Paxton, that's pretty awesome. Anyone else? Privileges of the floor. Okay, we are now on amendment number 3. Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I bring you third reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 1. It's pretty hard to follow the senior U.S. Senator, I can tell you that. So I hope you're still in a really good mood and that you'll support this. But I'll just make those arguments again. The one thing that the tribes want, yearn for, and ask for all the time is more interaction with the state. How come nobody from the state comes up here? And so I'm out there a lot. Our other Fremont County delegation is out there a lot. But quite frankly, we can't serve as the liaisons. We work hard. You know, we're all legislators. The range of issues that we deal with is so huge, and the liaisons is much narrower, and it's focused on the relationship between the state and the tribes. One liaison for each one. There is a position for each tribe. And so they meet directly with the governor. They come back, and they coordinate all of this executive branch function. We legislate, they execute. And so I can tell you that there is one tribe that is not being represented, and there's another tribe that's only being represented half time. And I have that backwards. There is only governor's representation half time with the one tribe and zero with the other. And so what this amendment does is it doubles the general fund funding for this liaison program for the biennium. And so it puts it back up to a full-time job, one for each tribe. And if that happens, then the Shoshone tribe will advance some names to the governor. And I just urge you to support this And that's really all I can think of to say. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Okay. Question having been called. Whoa. Representative Sweeney, first time.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm very much in support of this, and I see the need, I hear the need, and I think it's an important thing that we need to do for the governor's office to put this back in and get the representation. I urge your support.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We went through this just about 20 minutes ago on the previous amendment. I think everyone understands that these positions are part-time. There is still representation. And if we really want a liaison to the governor ought to appoint him from his office, not the tribes appoint him to his office. So I'd encourage a no vote.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time prior to the sponsor. Representative Allen, Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll wrap it up very quick. The tribes don't appoint. The governor does. What the tribes do is they advance names, and the governor has those names to pick from, but the governor can put anybody he wants in there. It is his job. It is his position, or, you know, it's his decision, not the tribes. So it is, just please vote for vote aye.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 3. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
Amendment number 3 has been defeated. We're now on third reading amendment number 4. Representative Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1. Would ask for your favorable consideration. We had this discussion on second reading, so I won't go over all of it again, but this is for your libraries of the state. And so on second reading, I had the full amount of funding for a year. What I've done here is half that amount. So again, if this this federal grant goes away, which they did a one-year resolution on it to keep it going up until September 30th this year, but as of October 1st, if it goes away, this amount of money is the bare bones what it'll take to run our library catalog, which goes to all 106 libraries in our state, and also our database and resources catalog used by the community colleges, UW, and the K-12 education system for your libraries out there, kids. All right, this is what will pay for that for 6 months from October to March 1st, the bare bones to keep the catalogs going without other funding. If the feds do re-up the program or can get another continuing resolution for 1 year, this goes back in the general fund. So I'd be happy to answer any questions. Otherwise, I'd encourage you to support your libraries.
Any other members for their first time? Seeing none. Question. I think the question's being called. Okay, we are now voting on third reading amendment number 4. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 4 has failed. We are now on division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. More than 22. Third reading amendment number 4 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 42, Representative Ayer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 42 to House Bill 1 and urge your favorable support. I want to go back and just review a little bit about what the legislature has done over the last two bienniums as far as reductions in our state budget. If you look at just the budget item on Section 1 through about Section 220. Exclude the 300 series and all the other things. If you go to, I went back and added up for the biennium beginning in 2015. We spent $2.955 billion. In the current biennium, as proposed by the Joint Appropriations Committee, that series of budget items totals up to $2.6 million. So we've cut $320 million over the last two bienniums from those sections in our budget. Just for an example, the Office of the Governor is down $16.4 million. Ag Department down 16%, excuse me. Ag Department down 16%, revenue down 16%, Insurance Department down 23%, and those are just a few examples of how the budget has decreased over the last two bienniums. If you look at the Office of Public Defender, it's actually increased, or is proposed to be increased by 10%. And so as we were looking with some other legislators about ways that we could start to make a little dent in our budget, we learned that the cuts are difficult to make. All the easy ones have already been made. They're tough to make now. And so to understand this budget amendment, I need you to not only look at your budget book on page 13, but also get out the cheat sheet and turn, or the summary sheet. Otherwise known as the cheat sheet, but summary sheet. On page 7, turn to page 7, where the Office of Public Defender is located, and you can see what this budget amendment is intended to cut. On footnote 2, there is a $500,000 appropriation, one time, for capital case funding. I don't profess to be an expert on the Office of Public Defender, but it seems like if we're going to look for some places we can start to make cuts, this may be a place that we can do that. This would just remove the general fund appropriation, leaving the $75,000 from the special revenue account available. I think this is a way that we can start to make a dent in our spending deficit, although it is a small one, it's still a step in the right direction, and I urge your support for this budget amendment. Thank you.
Representative Simpson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members of the House, I know we're all trying our best to balance the budget here today, and so what we're trying to do is reach in and really analyze each of the budgets to see where there is things that we could cut. The last representative has directed you to footnote number 2, where this department, looking at Section 8, Defenders of the Public, they've requested $500,000. This $500,000, they've indicated, must ensure that the sufficient resources are available to provide high-quality representation of clients faced with the ultimate punishment. In the event that the state of Wyoming seeks the death penalty, in any case during the BFY, substantial monies and resources will be needed. For your information, the last time that corporal punishment was executed in the state of Wyoming was in 1992, 24 years ago, by lethal injection. We have one inmate on death row currently. Here's the interesting time frame. The murder he was convicted for occurred in 1988, and he was convicted in 2004. That's 16 years between the time of the event and the time of the conviction. He's been on death row for 14 years, which is a topic for another day. My point is that We've set aside $500,000 for a possible event in the future that may or may not happen. I'd submit to you, based on typical time frames under these types of convictions, there will be ample time for us to supplement this budget at a future date if necessary. They have broken out. They've requested $80,000 of this half million be utilized to train their personnel for capital cases, which I think is important. It's our responsibility as a government to make sure our defenders are trained. And so this amendment leaves $75,000 in the budget to do that, but saves $425,000 that can remain in the general fund. I recommend due pass of Amendment 42.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and against this amendment, we have a constitutional mandate to do this defense. And the Public Defender's Office, kind of broadly, the Public Defender's Office, their caseload has increased considerably. And so we did bring more money back in for a variety of things in the Public Defender's Office. And that's not even going to get them to where they're at just 100% of caseload. But on this particular issue, there's more than just a trial to be the public defender of a capital case. It's kind of an ongoing thing. The fact that it's drug out for years and years is probably explains a good reason why we need that much money. And so I'd just ask you to resist this amendment.
Other members, Chairman Greer.
So, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Obviously, I'm on this amendment. I rise in support of the amendment. And I want to compliment the JEC because they did address some serious issues in the Public Defender's Office. It was getting squeezed down a little too much. And we do have a constitutional right to provide defense to indigent defendants. And so I tip my hat to them. This is out of the capital case fund. And the simple fact of the matter is, you know, the last comment is there is a constitutional mandate to go ahead and fund that. But the fact remains is that this is a drop in the hat. If there was truly a pressing capital case, this would not be enough money for it. It wouldn't even be close. But, I mean, I don't know the exact numbers, but I'll just, heck, we all throw out numbers, so I'll just say, but it's less than a fifth of the cost of even that, because we are paying both sides of it when we do it for the most part. So I want to applaud the two co-sponsors on this for digging around, finding out, okay, here's some money we can put back in, help pay for some of those good things we did with the disability waivers and some of those items, and just go ahead and hold this in our general fund. If this issue comes back up, we're going to have to address it seriously. When I say seriously, you better throw a couple of zeros on that. So thank you.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, when this came to the committee, in my rookie enthusiasm and my opposition to the death penalty, I zeroed in on this funding and was ready to eliminate it until I heard the explanations. And the thing is, the Public Defender's Office has no control over whether capital cases come forward, but they do have a responsibility to defend in those cases. So we need to leave that money in there on and against the amendment.
Chairman Madden.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just have a recollection. It seems like it was decades ago, but when we talked about this on general file, didn't somebody say we had a couple, three that are imminent, or a couple of these cases are coming more likely, I guess, than what has happened in the past? If I'm wrong on that, maybe it's because I was dreaming that day. I don't know.
Chairman Zwanitzer?
Oh. Sure. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a question. I think I like the amendment. I was looking back at the 17-18 budget. There were 66 full-time employees, and in this budget, there are 84 full-time employees, and they still both have 16 part-time. But I'm wondering if that's true or if I'm missing something, but according to last biennial budget to this biennial budget, we're adding 18 new employees to this office.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My question is for anyone who has the answer. But I know that so much of this money is being devoted to mandatory appeals. And I'd like to know if someone has an idea of what percentage these mandatory appeals are being driven by the federal government, how many are being driven by state law.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's a fascinating how all this works, but the average death penalty case costs between $10 and $15 million. If you count the appeal process, and it's typically between 10 and 20 years, and frankly, it's one of those things that, from a policy standpoint, you say, well, if a county brings a death penalty case, they ought to pay for half of it, because why should the state be funding both sides of the process? But that's a policy for another day. If the testimony was that there were two prosecutors considering filing death penalty cases, one in this county and one in a county in the middle part of the state. And so that's why the public defender came forward and says, well, if they're thinking about it, we need to get ready for it. The way that you have to file one of these cases in the training is mandatory. If you don't have the training, then it's automatically malpractice, and the case, you have to come back and try it again. So that's just the way it works. But with regards to this amount of money, if one of these cases comes up, trust me, the governor will be 11 and move money around to cover the expenses until we come back. And so I really don't have a position one way or the other on the amendment.
Okay, anyone else first time? Moving the second time for the sponsor, Representative Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. And just a general question that was asked, just to give you an idea of the caseload increase. So in the public defender's office, they handled 14,705 criminal cases in fiscal year 16, and they were at 102% of caseload maximum. By fiscal year 17, they were handling 15,975, so more than 1,000 more cases, and they were at 109% of caseload maximum. So once again, this is a constitutional mandate, and I encourage you to resist this amendment.
Any others for the sponsor? Representative Simpson.
I want to make it really clear. We do support the Office of the Public Defender. We have increased their budget. We've given them more people to work with. We're not opposed at all to meeting our responsibilities under the law. This amendment simply says, based on the odds of these coming forward, this is a lot of money, $425,000, when we really need it elsewhere, to just put it in a savings account and wonder if and when we'll use it. I encourage you to vote aye on Amendment 42.
Okay, we are voting on third reading amendment number 42. All those in favor, please say, excuse me, I'm sorry. Sponsor error. I'm sorry. Bring us home.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I want to make clear that you understand this is not about policy. It's not about the death penalty. It's just about funding this special account. And I think it's a place we can save some money where we need to do that. I understand the reason for the increased funding to the Public Defender's Office, but I think this is $425,000 we can fold back into our general fund. Please vote yes for this amendment. Thank you.
Okay, we are voting on third reading amendment number 42. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 42 has been adopted. There's a decrease in the appropriation, so we'll require a roll call vote. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Amendment 42, Allen. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Bovee.
Aye.
Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart. No. Bird.
Aye.
Aye. Clausen. No. Clem.
Aye.
Aye. Connolly.
Aye.
Aye. Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Aye. Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards. Excused. Eklund.
Aye.
Aye. Ayer.
Aye.
Aye. Flitner.
Aye.
Aye. Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Aye. Guru.
Aye.
Aye. Gray.
Aye.
Aye. Greer.
Aye.
Aye. Haley.
Aye.
Aye. Hallinan.
Aye.
Aye. Halverson.
Aye.
Aye. Henderson.
Aye.
Aye. Hunt.
Aye.
Aye. Jennings.
Aye.
Aye. Kinner.
Aye.
Aye. Kirkbride.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Aye. Larson Dan.
Aye.
Aye. Lindholm.
Aye.
Aye. Lone.
Aye.
Aye. Laux.
Aye.
Aye. McGuire.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Nicholas.
No.
No. Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Ponell.
No.
Salazar.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Simpson.
Aye.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stith.
Aye.
Sweeney. No. Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters.
Aye.
Zwanitzer.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 48 aye, 11 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the members present, third reading amendment number 42 has been adopted. We are now on third reading amendment number 40.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Larson Lloyd.
Privilege of the floor, if I may.
Please proceed.
So, I know you all felt it. It was an energy that came into our house here, and you might even, I've seen a number of heads going up thinking it was probably of a divine origin. And in a way, it is, because today we have the Wyoming Federation of Republican Women on their annual legislative visit. We'd like to recognize them, ask them to stand, and welcome them to the House.
Welcome to the House. We're really glad to have you here. Thank you so much. Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you, folks. We have behind them another group of fifth graders from Prairie Wind Elementary School with their teacher, Mr. or Ms. De Bruin. I don't actually know which it is because I can't see the person. But the kids, stand up, wave past the ladies, sit down so they can see you.
Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, also in the fishbowl wearing red is a city councilman from my community and strong man, extraordinaire, Shay Lundvall. Shay, stand up. Say hello.
Welcome to the House. We are on third reading amendment number 40. Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I respectfully withdraw third reading amendment number 40 to House Bill 1.
Third reading amendment number 40 has been withdrawn. We are now on third reading amendment number 5. And the sponsor is not here. This amendment will be withdrawn. We are now on third reading amendment number 6. Representative Stith.
Mr. Speaker, I move amendment number 6
on third reading to House Bill number 1. This, what this bill does, if you look on the appropriation, if on House Bill 1, page 19, line 19, there is a line item for the Abandoned Mine Reclamations Division for $103 million, roughly. Page 19 of House Bill 1, line 19. What this amendment does, and this amendment frankly doesn't do all that much, what this amendment does is it bumps up, and the effect of it is to bump up in priority the Bitter Creek Restoration Project in the city where the water springs from the rock. The effect of this, the condition of this stream was adversely affected by coal mining or coal mining processes at some point before August 3rd, 1977. That's the jurisdictional requirement to be eligible for these funds. Instead of, you're very familiar with this issue. My predecessor brought similar bills and issues, I believe, in successive years. What I'd like the folks to be aware of on this amendment is that what it does is it takes the projected cost for the first phase from 2007, which was $4.5 million, grosses it up for inflation to 5.5, so it's the equivalent. The effect of this is a revenue neutral. That is, if you vote yes on amendment number 6, the state is not going to spend any more money in the next 2 years than it would have spent otherwise. This is revenue neutral. All it does is it directs the Department of Environmental Quality to ask the U.S., the federal agency in charge of this program, to, one, approve the project, and number two, to then ask the chief executive of our state to then consider putting it on the list for another agency to decide whether among the list of other projects if it wants to fund this one. So this amendment doesn't really do as much as it might first appear. It's revenue neutral, but what it does do is it makes it, for the first time, something that might actually get done. The people in this area have been waiting since 1923 when this particular waterway was dramatically altered. It was dramatically altered in 1923 precisely because the primary company that runs trains through the area because it wanted fuel for it had taken water out of its own mines, put them into this waterway, and then the waterway was redirected. Revenue neutral is the key thing to remember. If you vote for this, you're not spending any extra taxpayer dollars. What you are only doing is directing that this project, which should have been a Tier 1 project to begin with because it arises out of coal mining processes. It's not a Tier 1 project according to the relevant agency. All this does is it directs the agency to please think about this and ask the federal government to approve it so that that agency can then ask the chief executive to also approve it. So with that overly long explanation, I would ask you to vote for this revenue-neutral amendment. 6.
Chairman Greer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I speak against this amendment. We've had this discussion many times, but I'll hit it again. So our AML funds, as you know, are a tax, come as a rebate of half the taxes that our coal companies pay, and they come back to the state of Wyoming each year. It was around $45 million, I think, is the number where we're at right now. And those have to go towards listed coal and then what we call non-coal mines reclamation funds. Okay? Right now, there's about $120 million. The same thing. We got about 2 years left on that list. As those funds come back to us, once that list is completed, then those funds are available very possibly and probably highly likely for this project, except that the way the regulations are set up, the federal regulations, is that these projects will have to go through the SLIP board. And so the SLIP board will come through and prioritize these projects. Now, there's a part of me, a strong part of me, I would love to say the legislature could grab those dollars and move them where we want to. But the simple fact of the matter is, once those listed projects, the coal reclamation and the rest of the what they call the non-coal mine reclamation, are completed, again, about 2 years, as of those rebates reclamation tax dollars come back to Wyoming, those will be available for projects like this, but they have to go through the SLIP board. So I ask you to vote no on this amendment.
Anybody for the first time? Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in support of this. I'm not sure of all the process, how it goes through, but this is a project that needs to be completed. And the bringer of this amendment spoke, his predecessor fought for this, and we voted for this in the past. It seems we always get the runaround from whomever, and I'm not going to mention any names, but we know who we're getting the runaround from. So please vote for this, and let's get it in this budget amendment, and vote aye. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Speaker, Pro Tem Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against the amendment, to echo a little bit what the good chairman of Minerals had to say, this project doesn't meet the requirements. It hasn't for a long time. We see this every year. We even had the good chairman of Appropriations help them write a request in the past for this sort of thing. We have numerous projects out there, and they are prioritized that are direct and do need this funding. I know somewhere roads have actually opened up or collapsed due to mine subsidence that has to be taken care of. And in the future, our abandoned mine land funds are going to be limited because the prior balance amount has been used up. We don't have this extra money anymore. And we need to make sure that we really stick to our priority list and that on these so that we take care of those things that are super critical. And we do have a number of those projects. I've talked to the agency. They're worried what they will do in the future if some of this money does go away. So on and against the amendment.
Any other members for the first time? Any members for their first time? Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and against, ladies and gentlemen. So this project will probably cost, if we decide to use AML dollars to fund it, it will be over $100 million to do what the plans are in order just to effectuate it. So back in, I believe it was 2004, we gave $5.5 million to this project roughly, and we gave another $1 million about 2 or 3 years ago. And frankly, because they keep coming back and we want to help out our communities. But at the end of the day, when this project comes up, it'll be vetted by the SLIP board, and all this doing is kind of elevating it on the list. And when it's time for these funds to be released, this will happen. And we have to be careful, because if we don't continue to stand up for it, then the decision is going to be slowly pulled away from us. So on and against.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think I'll probably end up declaring conflict on this just to not muddy the waters here, but I want everybody to understand here, this amendment comes up just about every single year, and it has for many, many, many years, and it continuously gets voted down for a reason. There are reasons this does not work. You cannot use these funds for this project. It will not work. Please vote no.
Madam Minority Floor Leader Conley.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm in favor of this amendment. I've had the privilege of working with our new representative's predecessor on thinking about what we could do. Know that in the past, folks, we have had an AML bill, an actual AML bill with AML funds that have come in from the feds, and we have allocated them. We have finished with all of those Tier 1 projects. There is now money that's sitting in the account that is available for use, And, you know, someone said, you know, this might not be a Tier 1 project, but it's not a Tier 2 project either. It's like a Tier 1.5 project if it existed. And this is exactly the kind of thing that if we were to move down that list, that our AML dollars should be used for. We were considering using AML money at one point because we had so much of it sitting around kind of for general fund purposes or capital construction at the university. We didn't do it, but we were actually considering doing it because we had so much funds available. This is a project that is necessary because of mining. Because of mining. It's exactly what AML money should be used for. So on and in favor of the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? First time, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, folks, I couldn't remember all of the discussion we've had in previous years. I've tried to support the good folks from County Ford on this project. If you're familiar with that town, you know, particularly when that creek is somewhat bitter, when there's a high water, it makes a mess. But those AML funds right now have to be used for coal and non-coal reclamation projects. And so as I visited with the director of the agency that oversees those funds this morning, we do not have money in that sitting there for projects of this nature right now. They are not there. And so we just need to be very clear and not, again, let's just make sure that we're voting with accurate information on this. And I would encourage you, until they are available, and we don't know that that'll be this biennium, but until they are available, I think that we should see what happens. We know that there's a lot of pressure fed on the national level to do away with those AML funds. I think that we need to be very judicious in what we do with those, and so I'd encourage you to vote against this amendment at this time.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've been here for all the debate except for the previous 15 minutes when I was out in the hall, so I don't know what's been said, but one of the things that always comes back is that it's said that this is not coal-related or not mining-related. My family has been in Rock Springs since the 1880s. They were brought in to be coal miners. I didn't grow up in to be there, but it's coal related. It's the coal company that was related to the railroad came in and says we have to move Bitter Creek, and they did. And there is unintended consequences. And this community has been waiting since the 1920s to fix it. And frankly, what's happening is people in Cheyenne, by waving the magic wand and saying that this isn't coal-related, makes it unqualified. And What we're here to do is saying, okay, we'll accept a level two, but when we get to a level two, we should be the first one on the list because this is coal related, and it should be taken care of.
Representative Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On and in strong support of this amendment. We did indeed, this body did indeed pass a bill 2 years ago authorizing this project under the prior balance AML funding. The fact that it's been lagging as a priority is a shock to me. I don't know what it takes, but let's send another message and get this going, and I urge your aye vote.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone wish to speak for a second time? Second time, Chairman Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. I just want to make this clear from some of the things that have been said. There was the prior balance funds that our federal delegation went and fought for us and brought back, and those were some big chunks of money that we received in the past. Those prior balance funds went for things that were impacts related to mining. We had a great flexibility, and maybe we were guilty of being a little too flexible at one point. Okay, but anyway, we tightened that up. Those prior balance funds had a much broader use, and all of those prior balance funds have been used up. They're gone. There are no more coming in. So now what we have is the in lieu is what it's called. It's around the $45 million, which is basically a refund of half of the tax that our coal companies send off to Washington, D.C. Those in lieu funds have very strict sideboards on what they can be used for, and it's for coal and non-coal mining reclamation, not something that's related to coal mining, but those mine reclamation funds. And a lot of it goes towards subsidence. These funds can't be used for this project. Now, once we get all of the projects, all of the mining projects done, and it's estimated that should be done in 2 years. About $120 million of those projects are there. Then these in-lieu dollars that come back once we're certified that these mines have been cleaned up are then available with a broader usage going back to related to mining impacts. At that point in time, this project would be eligible for those funds. However, they have to go through and be vetted by the SLIP board. We can't use these for this. We all understand, have been here, understand the project, are behind the project, and appreciate the project, but this amendment is not appropriate at this time, and I'd ask for you to vote no.
We're on second time. Speaker Pro Tem Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Excuse me. Ladies and gentlemen, last summer I started thinking about the AML funds and what we do with them. And you wonder, gee, where's all this money go? So I made arrangements and spent time in the field with the agency that administers these to see what they were doing. And we spent a lot of time discussing their priority list, how they do it. And this is not just darts at a wall. This is a very established process. I even asked them, I said, well, we looked at a couple projects to be done. I said, well, why would you take this one over this one? This one looks a lot worse. And they said, it doesn't meet the criteria at this point. This one does, and they could explain it from an engineering and scientific standpoint. They have prioritized these. They spend a lot of time doing this. And for us to go in and pull projects in and say, here, do this one first, is really inappropriate to all the other communities, the counties and the state, and that. Let them work their priority list. We don't need to be jumping in doing this. It's just not worthwhile. We have a limited amount of money, and we have a lot of projects remaining. So on and against the amendment.
We are on second time before the sponsor. Second time before the sponsor, Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm not a simple country lawyer, and I'm just a simple railroader here that has to ride on trains that go right by this. All the time. It's a mess. And the way I read this bill, I think everything else can get done as the country lawyer told us. It says unencumbered and unobligated funds left over. That would open it up for this project. Let's just put it in this bill. Get a little notice of that department. And please vote aye. Thank you.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I would express caution not to be railroaded into this amendment. I think it's important for us to understand that we understand the long history of mining in that portion of our state, probably some of the oldest coal mining in the history of the state as it supported the railroads. And we have sunk millions and continue, as we should, to sink millions of dollars into that portion of our state, particularly on the subsidence issues that they have in that city where water springs out of rocks. And We will continue to do so, but that's where a large share of these AML funds go to. And we need to continue to do that. And so let's direct them to those projects and continue to do that. And when the time comes, these funds can be used for different things. We'll approach this subject perhaps again. I'm sure we'll approach it again. But I would encourage you to resist it at this time.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, we've been waiting for a long time. We've seen that discretionary money that was fought and come back go to other places that was totally unrelated to mining. And we are left in Sweetwater County with the problem. I've seen some of the projects that have been done. And I'm thinking of a project that was done in one of the coal camps about 6 miles north of the Rocky City. And I couldn't understand why they were spending all that money on a project that has no effect on the safety of people. Basically, this is a flag waving and saying, remember us. Thank you.
Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Second time? Representative Stiff.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd just like to respond briefly to the comments from representatives from districts 27, 15, and 8 who implied that if you pass this amendment, you would be violating the law, or that it's just impossible to do this. The language of this amendment is pretty careful. For example, on your corrected copy of Amendment 6, lines 5 and 6 provide that notwithstanding any other provision of law, after all projects of eligible coal and non-coal reclamation have been provided for. That is, it's a condition precedent to any funds under this amendment that all of those other eligible coal and non-coal reclamation projects have already been provided for. And then after that, as good representative from District 39 pointed out, after that, it's only for unencumbered and unobligated funds. So this amendment, at most, it's certainly revenue neutral, and what it does is it lawfully provides for the agency to try to get this project done. I ask for an aye vote. Thank you.
Members, we are on third reading amendment number 6 to the budget bill. All those in favor of the amendment, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Amendment 6 to the budget bill has failed. Division having been called, all those in favor of Amendment number 6, please rise. Those opposed, please rise. More than 24. The amendment has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment number 7, Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Friends, this is an old friend from yesterday that we brought back exactly the same. It works under the State Parks and Cultural Resources Division, page 22 of your budget. And it's the same thing that we proposed yesterday, decreasing vacant positions of 3, and I'll be a little louder here, 3 vacant positions and $150,000 for a website. This creates a division of outdoor recreation in the State Parks and Cultural Resources Division. And so I'd like to take a slightly different approach to this amendment today, and that is to have you think about the free market system that we have in our state and the great small business owners and independent thinkers that we have out there that might be able to provide this service rather than growing government to do that. And so I would ask for your favorable consideration of this amendment and ask you to let small business take a stab at this rather than put it inside of the government.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I stand on and against this amendment. I think what State Parks is trying to do is going to be a real benefit to the state of Wyoming. We have a really building recreational business in the coming into the state of Wyoming now. And this is the time that we should take to help define trails out there. Where can we build, you know, where can we map out trails, and how can we get a website that puts all of this together and really promotes Wyoming and promotes the outdoor experience? And this is big in an area like where I come from. You know, there's so many recreational opportunities. And this is just simply to help coalesce efforts to get maps out on the ground, to get projects in place, and to build a website. And it's taken vacant positions that, you know, as vacancies come up, you can hold a few of them and then put them together. They're not adding money on that part. And so I would just encourage us to resist this amendment, support Wyoming, and support recreation in Wyoming. I think.
Representative Larson Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, encourage us to resist this effort. You know, as in my community, we really have a huge outdoor recreation population and a lot of private businesses and a lot of small industries. But when you try to correlate everything that's available in that part of the world and how that can draw others to it, it becomes very difficult. If you go on to the website that the agency that's supposed to do all of this for the state, punch in Continental Divide Trail, or punch in that world-class climbing event that happens in my community annually, and you won't see anything. Go in and look at hiking trails, and you will find a phrase that says, come and walk our world-famous trails, but you don't see anything there. And when you look up, and when you look about how to go across some of these outdoor recreation areas that bring visitors to our state on a regular basis, it's kind of every man for himself. And so I think what we're trying to do here is to be able to do kind of a one-stop shopping for people that are coming to our state and visiting, whether it be on one side of the winds or the others, or in your communities. And there's a need for this, and I hope that you'll resist this amendment.
Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, you know, and we've spoken to several of you individually about this, and appreciate you listening in those one-on-one conversations. I guess just to add one more thing that really hasn't been talked about is, you know, this, we heard about this, I believe it was in October or November, for the first time in our interim committee in TRW. First time. And again, we were told, you know what, we're not going to pursue some of this stuff. And then we thought it was gone. And of course, we've rehashed this, and I'm not going to rehash it again about, you know, that apartment going around TRW and going straight to appropriations. I will say this, though. It's interesting that this idea is pretty fresh, it's pretty new, and we haven't had the opportunity, at least on TRW, to ask this department, hey, what can you do in-house Do we need to have three different positions and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars more on a website? Or can we do some of this stuff in-house? Can we get a little bit creative? And frankly, we haven't had that opportunity. And so I would urge you to vote aye on this amendment.
Representative Howerson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Also, I urge your aye vote. The fact that the representative from the fine House District 54 finds a dearth of outdoor recreational links when he goes in on the Internet, I don't see that the growing state government is the way to do that. There are many, many groups and organizations in this state that have outdoor in their name and recreation in their name and pathways in their name. I think by keeping this in the private NGO sector, they can come up with something. But the fact that they haven't is no reason to run to government and ask for government to be expanded. Please vote aye.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, the county I live in is kind of like the center of outdoor recreation, at least we like to think it is. We like to think it is. And I recognize, so this is part of where I, just bear with me a moment. Last summer, actually late spring, I had to come down here for meetings. And I brought my mountain bike, and I went to a park very close to here named after a deceased former sportscaster. I'd heard the mountain biking it would be okay. I would have a fun day. And I was amazed at this park. And it had phenomenal mountain biking trails. They were quite challenging. I only fell once or twice. But I was essentially there by myself. I was surprised that there are a lot of mountain bikers in the state to the south of us, and they weren't there. And you have to wonder, why are these people not coming up to this amazing park with its amazing trails and spending money in Wyoming? And part of the problem is they don't know about it. On and against this amendment.
I have Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple different things to touch on here. This is bigger than small business. This is about the state as a community and creating a community environment in which all of the community can express what we have and all of our great assets in a collaborative effort. And so I think it's good that we are able to share these ideas from small Wyoming community to small Wyoming community to create this wonderful, great, large community of Wyoming. The other thing that I'd really like to point out, and I've pointed this out a couple times before, this agency did not go around the TRW committee. The TRW committee, this agency does not work for the TRW committee. This agency is an executive branch agency. This agency took its ideas and proposals to the chief executive, and the chief executive in this agency worked out a budget that they felt was fair, logical, and workable. And in doing so, they sent this budget proposal to us in the legislature. So this sense that the agency works for the legislature is not accurate. This is an executive branch agency. They didn't go around the committee. They went to their boss, the chief executive. They worked it out with the chief executive. And so I think it's good that we remember that this is not a legislative agency. It's an executive branch agency. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. A couple things. One, currently this agency has fewer people in it than it did a year ago. So, they've already reduced their staff. One thing to think about, though, is we have two groups of people out there who really have a lot of disposable income they wish to use in the outdoors. You have the baby boomers and the younger generation. You know, the demographics have changed. Baby boomers are going to live a lot longer than their parents. A lot of them have retired, and they want to do something with their money. And a lot of that has to do with going into the outdoors, something maybe they didn't have a chance to do while they were working and all of those things. And they're looking for some place to do it. Then you have the adventure seekers who want to jump off bridges with rubber bands on their ankles and other things, and it's the next thrill. We'll tell you what, Wyoming's the next thrill for them. Last year we had a race in the state. These people raced, I think, 200 or 300 miles in the same number of days. Brought quite a bit of money to the communities. They stayed in the hotels. They ate in the restaurants. And in between, they ran and paddled and rode as fast as they could to beat the next team. And it brought a lot of advertising to the state. We need to continue that. We need to tie into this money and bring those people here who will show up, ride bicycles, row canoes, whatever, leave their money here, and then they go on to the next adventure. So on and against this amendment, we need to continue this.
Representative Freeman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had the interns work on outdoor recreation, and I'm sorry we didn't get done to get a sheet out to you. But Wyoming already does a pretty good job in outdoor recreation. It's basically, we have $5.6 billion in outdoor recreation spending. And the wages that have been earned according to the task force is $1.6 billion. And that has generated $514 million. The recommendations, or I would say that there'd be more like goals, is to attract more outdoor recreational businesses, small businesses that come here to do well, to improve infrastructure, to work on better access to sites that would satisfy these thrill seekers, to support collaborations, to improve and expand infrastructure again, and to develop the outdoor recreation programs. There's a long list of different things that we've done already, and all of these things could be expanded on. And I think that it is important to realize that in the August TRW committee, the task force recommendations were presented. And the bottom line of that is the task force expressed in their report that they disliked the idea of a separate office for outdoor tourism, and that the recommendation was to have a division within the department to enhance outdoor recreation. And basically, tourism has to help with that too, because if we increase the number of businesses, if we increase the cooperations, if we increase all the stuff that the task force says, then we have to have a promotional arm of the tourism to go through. I would strongly ask you to reject this amendment.
Representative Hallinan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There seems to be some disagreement amongst the members of the committee, TRW, on whether these items were discussed. I think in order to speak for the regular order, that they should be discussed at the committee level before they're brought before the full House. To say that these agencies are the government's agents, the governor's agencies, I think that's incorrect. We're the ones that have to provide the funds for these agencies, and I think we ought to support this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment as well, and I just don't like seeing this in this particular agency. And a lot of the testimony we've heard is about promoting Wyoming. We have the Tourism Board, who has pretty solid funding, and it's their job to get people to come in and spend their money here. You know, I too have some really interesting places in my district, and one of them is 10 sleeps away from the greater Yellowstone Basin. And interestingly, the canyon that runs down into that wonderful little town in the last 4 years has turned into a mecca for rock climbers. These folks come and find these places. I mean, you drive up the canyon in the summertime, and there are cars parked all over the place. People seek these places out. They know where they are. And if we need to promote them some more, we don't do them through the Parks and Recreation. They have enough on their plate to manage and try to manage well. So I rise in support of this amendment. Don't confuse the issues here. Thank you.
Representative Biden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, mostly based on the $150,000 website we're talking about, brings to mind a certain unaffordable health care act we had a few years back where the government couldn't quite figure out how to build a website. Leave it up to the government to charge that much for a website where you can do them for free nowadays most of the time, or at least within the thousands of dollars. So government waste at its finest, vote aye. Thank you.
Chairman Allen. Representative Guru. Please, one of you, please. Okay,
thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I want to go back to something that my good friend from District 28 said. I agree with everything he said except one thing. He said it was small business. This is not small business. This is big business. And I can tell you, folks, I'm against this amendment because I want to help this business grow, and I think you all should, too. And 20 years from now, you'll be glad you did. When all these votes are all put away, when they're in the archives, and no one looks at them anymore. We were talking about that just the other day with my journal committee. You'll all be able to say you were for it, and you'll be glad you did.
Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, folks, I want to clarify a little bit about where the $407,000 in special revenue comes from. Those are basically fees paid by companies to do archaeological work and studies and other components of services that then the Parks and Rec has access to do different things with. And in the past, these fees were primarily used for separate archaeological studies, things like that, but they don't have those going right now. And so they have these funds available. And so all that we do in the budget is authorize the use of this these funds for something different because the archaeological work isn't needed right now. And so when the archaeological work is needed, that's where these fees will be put. So there's no general fund, no federal fund dollars involved in this. It's special revenue that's earned and paid to the parks for the services they provide. And so even if we pass this, they could be B11 this money right back out for these monies and move it around. And so I just want you to understand that the attacking the 150 is general fund dollars, but the remainder of this will really have almost no effect on the agency.
Any other members first time? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I don't want to belabor this here, but a couple things. Three positions, $150,000 for a website. I just want to start that, have that in perspective. They have flex room in their budget to already do this, as was mentioned in earlier. And the one new point I wanted to make, you know, the point that was made by my colleague from District 23, and I appreciate his comments, but what really troubles me on these amendments, and we're going to see some more, is where this fits in at all into a philosophy of government. I mean, when does this ever stop? It's just the next thing that somehow is a good thing that we're going to impede with what otherwise the private sector would be doing and creating a website, and that's somehow going to be the answer. It is never going to stop because there's always going to be another thing to create a website for. And so I would really encourage an aye vote here. Thank you.
Representative Piperina.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, it's time that Wyoming starts tightening its belt.
Anyone else? First time? Second time. before the sponsor. Sponsor. Representative
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and not to belabor the point, just vote aye. Thank you.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 7. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
Chair's seriously in doubt. I have no idea. So those who are in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. The amendment has failed 28-30. Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I know we just had a little calisthenics, but I'd like to offer you a little more. Ladies and gentlemen, in the fishbowl, we have doctors from around our state who are here on a Leadership Academy training, coming to see how the legislature does its work. So they got to see a couple amendments come. So I'd just like to introduce the folks that are in the gallery. Not all of the folks are here, but the folks in the gallery. Is a former doctor today, Christina Beringer from here in Cheyenne, Chris Schamber from Sheridan, Brad Hennebrink from Sheridan, Betsy Spomer Powell, David Armstrong, Cheyenne, Nate Reeb, Powell, Spencer Weston, Evanston, and J.J. Chen from Cheyenne. Thank you for being here.
Welcome to the House. Glad you've joined us this morning. We are now on Amendment Number 43, Representative Larson Dan. Pause for a moment. My order is... I don't have that one. Okay, we are now... I now have Amendment Number 8. We are on third reading Amendment Number 8. Representative Jennings.
Mr. Speaker, I'd move Amendment Number 8 to House Bill Number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Folks, if you like that last one, this is just going to shoot a missile across the bow. you know, I looked at this, and it is a philosophical question here. It's, you know, you look at that thing that we haven't quite acquired yet from last year, and you look at the fees, and the numbers just don't add up for me. I haven't heard any other options. I haven't heard anything about, hey, let's look at a lease. Let's help the private sector, let them run something. But instead, it's the same thing each time. Let's grow more government. You look at $900,000 for 3 years. I think we could be well underway of standing this thing up, either in the silo or outside. And another thing that kind of bothers me is you're looking at... no other options have been presented that I've heard of. So with that, I would ask for your aye vote.
Any members for the first time? Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against, and where to start? Folks that have been here for a while, actually, we've heard about this. We've been working on it for 3 or 4 years. It's gone through the, this is the Quebec One Missile Alert Facility, which I'll be bold to say, even though it's not actually in the amendment. We worked it through committee for several years, even back when we were still in the Capitol, we worked on this. This is the transfer of a missile alert facility from the federal government back to the state. So as I've said, you know, our little bite away from taking federal land to the state land. The transfer authority for this has been taken through the federal body back east, has gone through the Defense Authorization Bill, signed by the federal chief executive, and we've been working on this for quite a number of years. First of all, as has been determined several years ago, the federal government will not turn this piece of property over to the private sector. Okay, so it won't be. The option is either for the state to take it, which was the option that this body determined on for several years in a row. We anticipate, and we had a previous bill authorizing them to set their fees at the level at which it will be self-sustaining. This is one-time gap funding because, and a person in my row said yesterday they liked my use of the word gelatinous, so I'll just use it again because the feds, they are gelatinous, and that's why we need this one-time gap funding, because when the feds finally turn it over to us this spring, while we're standing it up, you know, it can't be self-sustaining on visitors until we have it in a state for the visitors to visit it. So this is the funding for that gap there. If we decide for some reason to not stand it up, folks, we'll have the property acquired back from the feds, but do we not want to pay utilities? We don't want to have security. We got to keep the elevator greased. We got to mow the grass, at which, frankly, we're going to actually hire the neighboring landowners. I guess we could bulldoze a piece of the Cold War history of the state, but I don't think we want to do any of that, folks. We've been working on this for years now. Finally is our chance to take it back. It's going to be an awesome part of our history and the state facilities, so please vote no.
Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against. In my first year in the legislature, I got the opportunity to tour Quebec One, and it might be the highlight of my 4 years here. There's one exception, obviously getting to know the good representative from the other side of the mountains. But and preserving history, there is nothing we can do that is probably any more important than that. Because 100 years from now, we will all be forgotten. But what we do will be remembered. And preserving Quebec One will be on that list. So on and against.
Any other members for their first time? Any further second time for the sponsor? Seeing none, Representative Jennings?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker. Well, I'm not against acquiring. We've already made that decision here. I just look at this and think, man, where do we start? We haven't stopped. We haven't. That's a lot of stand-up money. I mean, I think we could probably stand this thing up and fire it off, so I'd urge your aye vote.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 8 to House Bill 1. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 8 has failed. We are now on third reading amendment number 43, Representative Larson Dam.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Sorry about that. I had to go grab my paper. I move third reading amendment number 43 to House Bill number 1. We debated this at length 2 days ago. This time my amendment takes the dollars needed to run State Engineer's Office and Board of Control out of general fund and not out of account number 1 for 1 year. And we can discuss this again next year. Water account number 1, 2, and 3 are meant to be sacred and used for development of water projects, not to run an agency that regulates, controls, and monitors water. These accounts were set up by previous very visionary legislators who knew if we didn't put money from severance taxes away in buckets, dollars would not be there for developing your cities and neighbors' water systems. Vote aye.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment. Folks, this is the
drip, 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 running faucet of general fund money going out the door. We discussed this, as the presenter said, a couple days ago. This was previously water money. When we had a lot of money, we did move it to general funds. Now we don't have a lot of money, and controlling the water and monitoring the water is a part of water management. That's only good accounting sense. Vote no.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To say that these accounts were intended to be sacred is just incorrect, because this very agency has been ran by these water accounts in the past. This has a long storied history of this coming into the general fund, going out of the general fund, back onto the water accounts, coming back in. And basically it all amounts to the fact that when the state is flush with cash, we fund them with general fund dollars. When the state is not flush with cash, we fund them with their own dollars. And we're currently in a position that we need to fund them with their own dollars. So to think that they're sacred is just a wrong image to have. So please vote no.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So that money, as it whittles away and it whittles away, is money that you won't be able to use in your communities for drinking water projects. That's what I'm saying. That's what this is. Vote no. Or vote yes. Sorry.
Anyone else? Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This water was used for the commission, not the state engineer. So, the previous speaker who's on the amendment, and he wanted to say, vote aye for this amendment. I do, too. Please vote aye for this amendment. Let's make available more funds to cities, towns, and counties. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Second time for the sponsor. Chairman Northrup.
Vote yes.
Thank you for that clarification. Representative Wilson.
Vote no.
Now we're starting to move this debate along. To the sponsor, bring us home, Representative Larson Dan.
Well, I bet you know what I'm going to say. Vote yes. This account was, like we said before, it was put away so our cities and our towns and our neighbors could have water projects built in the future. And taking the money out of these accounts will not hurt us in the next year or so, but it's going to come back and get us, and we'll have to put dollars back in there. So don't take them away now. Vote aye.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 43. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, please say no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 43 has failed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. Okay, all those opposed, please stand. Amendment has failed, 24 to 32. Next amendment for our consideration is amendment number 47, Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move House Bill number 1, third reading amendment number 47, and ask for your favorable consideration. And what's going on in this amendment is we're trying to allow or have a little funding available for some gap funding for security folks at airports in three communities really throughout the state of Wyoming. And the biggest concern here is if the security factor goes dark, getting it back will be extremely difficult. And in the meantime, we hope to find a new solution to commercial air service in Wyoming. And hopefully we don't even get to the need for this money, but it's just to make sure that it's available if it's needed. And again, it really affects three communities, central part of the state, not my community, but over near where the sovereign tribes are located, down where the water is sweet, as well as up near the other entrance to the Great Park. And so hopefully you'd support the concept and the idea and understand that there's a high likelihood this money wouldn't be needed.
Anyone else? Representative Chairman Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Rise in opposition to the amendment. And I think we're going to have the opportunity after crossover to discuss air service in the state of Wyoming and its future forward. The issue I have with this is last year I went ahead and voted for a fee increase on title registrations because it was represented to me that we were going to take that fee increase and pull YDOT out of the general fund. And here we are putting them right back into the general fund. And that's my biggest beef. It's not that we don't need to look at air service and understand its importance to this state. It's simply a matter of I voted for that fee increase because I was told we were going to pull this agency out of the general fund. And here we are with $1 million to put it back in the general fund. So I rise in opposition.
Anyone else first time? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was just waiting for one of the good old appropriations members to come up and speak against this. So I'm going to and ask you to vote no on this for increasing the budget. For all the reasons just stated, please vote no.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, you know, we're trying to keep these smaller airports open to serve our small businesses and, frankly, some of our recreational businesses in the center part of the state. You know, we want to go to the airport south of here. It's a long trip down there. It's frankly, you know, very difficult to figure these things out to get them done. So, you know, this harms business. This harms tourism. Support this.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Gray.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd really encourage a no vote on this. Here's where we are at on the air situation. We've got this discussion we're probably going to have a little bit at the end of today and then continuing into next week on this $15 to $18 million for air service enhancement. And the way this was originally pitched was that this original air service enhancement program is going to be phased out. And now we've started to, over the summer, sort of hear, well, that's not quite what's going to happen. We're going to see, and we don't know. And now that's what we're continuing to get from this amendment. And so I'd encourage a no vote. I just, there's no bright line on this. It's going to continue forever until at some point we start to draw the line and say we got to get realistic here. Every dollar we're not spending on core general fund expenditure is a dollar that's going away from that and also from schools, which we need to protect. So I'd encourage a no vote here.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in support of this. You know, new businesses come to the state of Wyoming, one of the first questions they ask, what's your air service like? You want to grow the economy, you want to diversify the economy, you need to support your airports. Please vote aye.
Representative McGuire.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would rise in support and ask you to consider it as a placeholder until we do engage in further discussions about the air service. And the reason being is the airport that I'm involved with, I'm on the board, we fight constantly with the feds, and their threat is always if XYZ service leaves, you're never going to get it back. And that's what these communities are facing is if security leaves, you'll never get it back. So I would just encourage you to vote aye, consider it to be a placeholder, and then there will be a further discussion. And at that point, we can make decisions about what's going to happen to air service. But for right now, it's important to keep that available as an option. Thank you.
Chairman Allen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would echo what the previous speaker said. I, too, support this. It is really critical, especially for the airport in the county from which I come, and several of us. It is the it's the future to tourism and economic development. So on and for.
Any more for a first time, second time? Chairman Greer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm reading the amendment, and I don't see anywhere in the amendment where this is just for security. Anywhere in there. This is going to the air enhancement. The air enhancement has, and I get confused with the programs in there, but some of them are to support a couple communities for some flights in the summer that help with, I think it's just like dude ranching, that type of thing. And then another component of that goes to guarantee seats to come into the communities. And as I read this amendment, this is going to go into this agency, $1 million. Here you are, into this account, and it's there. Expenditure is necessary to avoid interruption to commercial air service to the communities Air Service Enhancement Program presently serves. So there's no sideboards on that for the security, as we've been told. Not the way this is drafted. And again, and it's just really, sorry, I've been really mellow this year. This one frustrates me. This frustrates me. I went back home and explained to a lot of people why they had to pay extra money when they were getting the registration for the vehicles. I had a lot of people in my district that have a lot of vehicles because it's an agricultural community. And I told them, straight face, said, no, it's a good decision. We did the right thing because we got YDOT out of the general fund. And now they go back in. I'm going to have a heck of a time explaining that. Vote no, please.
Anyone else for a second time before the sponsor? Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I'd encourage an aye vote on this. It is difficult to go home and explain to our constituents why we do the things we do. I think it would be equally difficult to go home and explain to our constituents why, when you're in those rural parts of the state, why you now have to drive twice or three times as far as you did before because that service is no longer available in a community close to you. And while, yes, the amendment doesn't specify exactly how it will be used, the Air Service Enhancement Program is used for things such as security and other parts of bringing that commercial air service to the state of Wyoming. Security is part of it. If you can't get through security at the airport and here, you can't get on to the next airplane on down the road. And so that is, you can't spell these things out. It's how the program works, and that's what it's used for. That's really about all there is to say, and so I would urge an aye vote.
We are questioned you. We are voting on the amendment. All those in favor of Amendment 47 signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
That's a no. Amendment 47 has failed. Next amendment for your consideration is Amendment 9. Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 9 to House Bill 1, and members ask for your favorable consideration. This one is spelled out, very particular what this would be used for. Not only that, but you'll notice here the next three amendments are mine, and it gives you options. I like options. And so here are some options that you can choose. What this amendment simply does, and I'll read it here. It says, of this general fund appropriation, $749,661, and of the federal funds of this appropriation, same amount, shall be expended by the department for the purpose of benefits paid to employed individuals with disabilities for the period of July 1st, 2018, ending June 30th, 2019. What is this? Well, this is the employed individuals with disabilities through Medicare, and it funds it for 1 year. So you'll recall 2 days ago, the good minority floor leader ran the amendment, tried to fund it for 2 years. I'm trying to fund it for 1 year, okay? Now, and kind of segue into the other amendments, I'm not moving them or anything at this point, but just giving you what the options are so you'll know ahead of time. Should we fund this? Should we fund this for 1 year? And 1 year only? What I'm going to ask the body to do is to vote to eliminate that position after that 1 year. Because you see, this is administered by the Department of Healthcare Financing. It's specified in the next amendments. And with the Department of Healthcare Financing, this program is about 1% of the Department of Healthcare Financing. It just so happens that that department has about 97 employees. Okay, so if we're going to eliminate 1% of the program, it stands to reason that we should eliminate at least one employee. It makes no sense whatsoever to keep employees if we're eliminating programs. And so here's the option. So option number one here is to fund this for 1 year. And with that, members, I would ask you to vote aye on this amendment.
Representative Larson, Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So to just, I hope someday when you guys get old and fat, you have to stand up here and know all this Department of Health stuff. It makes my head spin sometimes. So it's important for you to understand what we've done in the Department of Health, in this program that we cut. And if you will look at your summary sheet and you look at note 10, it says we denied So we denied the governor's rec for the eligibility for employed individuals with disability and breast cancer screenings. And the other day when we was talking, we made it clear that that's two different programs in the same unit. And so what we've got coming about in this amendment is we're going to fund it for 1 year for a total half reduction of what it would have taken to run those two programs, but we're only running one program, which is the employed individuals with disabilities. The cancer screening portion is not in this footnote. It is not and would not be funded for the intent of what this amendment does. It's just for employed individuals with disabilities. So we've overfunded, this amendment overfunds the program, actually funds it for, if you took what the program was doing in a biennium for cancer screenings, the cervical cancer screenings, and the employed individuals' disabilities, that would be, if you cut that in half, that's what we should be able to run both those in 1 year. So he's cut that a total appropriation in half, but he's only funding one program. I don't think we want to do that. And so I'd encourage you to be a no vote.
Minority Whip Summers.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. On and against the amendment. Just to give you a reminder of the overall numbers, when we came in with the budget we brought in $90 million more to the Department of Health and Family Services. $90 million more. And then in second reading, we added probably close to $10 million more. That's great. I mean, we needed to bring money back. But just recognize when you make these votes how much increases in that budget.
Anyone else for a first time for the sponsor? Sponsor, you want to go again? No? Question being called. We're on the motion. We're voting on Amendment 9. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
Amendment 9 has failed. All right. Next amendment for your consideration, Amendment 10, Representative Clem.
So, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to go ahead and withdraw that one, but we're going to do the next one.
All right. Withdrawn. Next for your consideration, Amendment 11, Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading Amendment 11 to House Bill 1, and body would ask for your favorable consideration. So, the good representative who spoke is right, simple mistake, and I didn't think about that afterward. That's two different programs. But that goes to this next point. So we're eliminating two programs, not just one, but we're eliminating two programs that represents 1% of that department, which is roughly, they have roughly 100 employees. So what this amendment seeks to do is if we're not going to have those two programs, there's no point whatsoever in keeping state employees around. So what this does is this simply eliminates one employee from the Department of Healthcare Financing. Very particular, very targeted, because we're eliminating two programs. So if you want to eliminate two programs, which is what the body decided to do, and I respect that decision. I think it stands to reason, though, that we're responsible with the people's money. And if we're going to eliminate programs, it stands the reason that we need to eliminate those employees as well. So I would ask your aye vote on this amendment.
Chairman Zwanzer.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. Just a question on the funds. So it's not a 50-50 match. And if when anyone explains why they're for or against it next time, if they could just cover the numbers for me, especially the $700 for special revenue.
Representative Larson, Lloyd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I'll try to get that answer here real quick. I think that the good representative bringing this amendment has a valid point on as programs are reduced, then staffing ought to be reduced as well. But I just would like to turn you to the summary sheet and have you look at note 31. JC's adopted the governor's direct to reduce 10 full-time positions and one part-time position according to section 320 that we implemented last year. And then we have also in section 314 this year a requirement for the executive branch to reduce an additional 50 employees. My point in arguing against this amendment is we are placing on the executive branch, including which this department is part of, and I think, I don't know that we fully understand all of the position requirements in healthcare financing. But I do believe that those reductions should be made by the individuals that do understand it, which would be the department themselves. And they're going to have that requirement, have had that requirement, and will continue to have that requirement in Section 314. And I would think that we ought to allow them to make those reductions. And this would almost seem like low-hanging fruit if that was the case. But I think that it should be their decision and not ours to tell them which ones and which division to get rid of.
Anyone else for a first time before the sponsor? Representative Clem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And it really is low-hanging fruit because we're eliminating a program. And it just stands to reason. If we're going to eliminate program, we should eliminate staffing. And it's the responsible thing to do. As far as the position, you see the different funds on there, and it's simply because it's funded through three different revenue sources. And so we'd be saving federal funds, special funds, and we'd be saving general funds as well. I think this is important. I think this really is one of those moments that we decide what our priorities are. Are we going to continue with overstaffing state government? If we're going to eliminate programs, then why do that? And so with that, I call for the question. Mr. Chairman, I would call for the ayes and noes on this.
I heard a second, but who was that? Representative Lone. Okay, we're on the amendment now. Amendment 11, we're voting on the amendment. All those in favor? Oh, wait, sorry. We're just going to go straight through the... Dust this off, little guys. do the roll call here.
Amendment 11, Allen. No, Barlow. No, Biteman. Aye, Blackburn. Blackburn? Aye, Blake. No, Bovey. No, Brown. No, Burkhart. Burkhart. Bird. No, Clausen. Aye, Clem. Aye, Connolly. No, Court. No, Crank. Aye, Dayton. No, Edwards excused. Eklund. Aye, Ayer. No, Flitner. No, Freeman. No, Furphy. Aye, Giroux. No, Gray. Aye, Greer. No, Haley. No, Hallinan. Aye, Halverson. Aye, Henderson. No, Hunt. No, Jennings. Aye, Kinner. No, Kirkbride. No, Larson Lloyd. No, Larson Dan. Aye, Lindholm. Aye, Lone. Aye, Laux. Aye, McGuire. No, Madden. No, Miller. Aye, Nicholas. No, Northrup. No, Obermuller. Aye, Olson. No, Paxton. No, Pelkey. No, Piperinen. Aye, Ponell. No, Salazar. Aye, Schwartz. No, Simpson. Aye, Summers. No, Steinmetz. Aye, Stith. Aye, Sweeney. No, Walters. No, Wilson. No, Winters. Aye, Zawanitzer. No, Mr. Speaker. No, Burkhart. Burkhart?
Excused?
Excused. Closing vote, are there any changes? Blackburn, aye to no. Ayer, no to aye. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 23 aye, 35 no, 2 excused.
Amendment 11 has failed. Next amendment for your consideration is Amendment 41, Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ladies and gentlemen, I'd move committee third reading amendment number 41 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is an ask. This is an ask of general funds. This is an ask of $2 million for the biennium. And it's also adding a footnote. That footnote is certainly on your bill, in your amendment. It does two things. It commits a current $6 million to prevention, upon which we add $2 million general fund. Now, here's what's important about this amendment, ladies and gentlemen, is current funds, and that's the $6 million I'm speaking of, current funds are either those from our federal government or those that we receive through a tobacco settlement and other and those associated funds. And those funds are restricted from being used for suicide prevention. So we can have an argument there's lots of money there, but the use of the funds is restricted by their source or by statute. So right now we have a process. The Department of Health has a contractor that works throughout the state, and they're explicitly forbade from doing any services that have to do with suicide. So we can do alcohol, we can do tobacco, we can do opioids, we can do other things, but we cannot do suicide prevention. Now that is as a result of a budget amendment last year which reduced the funds, the general funds from this division. And you'll see in this amendment, it's very specific. It's a unit within that big department, 0550. When those general fund dollars went away, that eliminated that agency's ability to do those funds unless they went and robbed it somewhere else. Well, guess what? We already have a shortfall in that agency, and we're backfilling it in this budget as well, in this Section 300. So there's lots of needs. So, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm asking is to add $2 million to this budget. to accompany the $4 million that's already there, million per year, but accompany existing dollars to send it out in our communities. Now, the second part of this in the footnote is very distinctive too, because it identifies the mechanism which this will be done. This will be done through grants to our counties. So this is sending the money to our communities so it can be used in conjunction with our community coalitions. And those are folks in the community, in our educational system, in our court system, in our faith communities, et cetera, that are already collaborating together to try to do these things. Now we're going to say the state's going to be a partner in that. So I'd ask you to consider that. The final thing is this contract model, well, we're going from a single model to a multi-county model. That's already underway, but they still don't have the funds to include suicide prevention without our addition, without the addition that I'm asking you to bring in. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would hope you would see this is a pretty straightforward. We're partnering in our communities, directing funds to our communities to save lives in our communities on the suicide side, of course, help with health and welfare, et cetera, on the abuse and misuse of drugs, alcohol, and tobacco. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would ask for your aye vote, and thank you for your consideration.
Representative Stiff.
Mr. Chairman, a question for the representative from District 3, and it's an open-ended question, or from anyone, really. Suicide is a very serious problem in our state. The suicide rate is far higher than the homicide rate. My question is, what's the science of the effectiveness of suicide prevention programs? I just question about whether this money will actually achieve its goal. Thank you.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was compelled by my seatmate to stand up and just say something real quick. It is a tragedy when these sorts of things occur. I think everybody in this room knows that. And I think there's also an understanding that one has to have. Government can never step into the place of God and the society. And these kind of situations are going to continue to rise, and it's a tragedy. But I will say that programs like this are not the answer. And it breaks all of our heart. It is something that is very sad. But we also have to make sure that our head and heart are connected. And so with that, I'm on and against this amendment, not because I don't think it's an attempt to do something right. It's just that I don't believe that it's proven its worth and that it actually in the long term can. Not when government's attempting to do this. Thanks.
Representative Sweeney.
Oops. Stan, what'd you do? On and in favor, if we don't do anything, that's not the right approach. This is going to be directly back to the counties and put it back into our communities where it should have been to begin with. On and in favor. Please vote yes.
Vice Chairwoman Halverson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Several years ago, we passed, or maybe it's only a couple years ago, we passed a bill devoting some money to suicide prevention in the communities. Professional trainers went in, trained teachers, trained members of the faith community, trained other community leaders, mayors, councilmen. In my neighborhood, the editor of the local newspaper even attended the training. What they do is they alert the community, as many people in the community that want to attend these trainings, to signs to watch out for, to find out and widely circulate in the communities the resources available if a teacher or a parent or a pastor suspects that someone might be suicidal. It's been phenomenally successful around the state. My county coroner goes around the state on his own dime, on his own time, to educate people, that anyone that wants to invite him to come, to educate people on suicide prevention. Now, unfortunately, it's one of those metrics you can't measure. You cannot measure how many people did not end their lives. But the suicide rate in Wyoming is going down. So this is good news. Last year, the year before that, funds for these kind of prevention outreach programs were cut. The mistake has been realized, I understand, and I'm pleased to see in the budget that appropriations and the executive have restored some funding for mental health and substance abuse. I would really encourage your aye vote on this. Let's not drop our efforts on these programs. Everyone believes that it is having some impact and some good impact in our communities. So on and in support of this amendment.
Question. Representative Salazar.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just want to relate to you honorable members just two statistics. Number one, suicide is 22% higher among veterans compared to non-veterans. And the Department of Veterans Affairs is telling us that we lose 22 veterans by suicide every single day. I just wanted to make that known. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Any other members? First time. Seeing none, moving on to second time before the sponsor. Any members? Second time, Chairman Bartle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So thank you for the discussion. I'd like first to respond to the effectiveness, the science. It's hard to measure something that doesn't occur. What a wonderful thing, it never occurred and we were always at zero, but that's not where we are, ladies and gentlemen. We are per capita high, but one in any community or any family is high. I know this is a sensitive issue in this body. In my family, it's a sensitive issue. All that aside, this is just about the state stepping into our communities and assisting with those efforts. This is about making a commitment with dollars that we go in and we be of assistance. So I wanted to talk about that government role. We were told about a government role. Well, we've talked about a lot of government roles. A lot of things that we do in facilities across this state and programs in this state. And this agency, this entity that we're talking about, this 48, that is what it does. It helps people at their most vulnerable times, whether it's a short amount of time or a lifetime. That's where they are. That's where they intercede. I want to make a comment. My good colleague and veteran comrade said, you know, the veterans are one of the are very vulnerable. In a community not far from where I live, where some of you actually are from, we lost a veteran last week. 90 miles down the road, we've lost two students that go to our schools within the last several months. A larger community and one of the very smallest communities in our state have been touched by this very recently, and I know it's happened in other communities. What I'm saying, folks, this is sad throughout our community. It breaks my heart to have to get up here and make a case that we should be doing something. But I truly, ladies and gentlemen, this shows our true character when we're going out in our communities and doing this. So I'll give you one last thing, how you reach out in your community. So one of the communities I represent, 3 years ago, took funding, because this model has changed. There used to be funding going to those communities, and it was directly to the communities, and that model changed. But they took that funding, and they went to every major coal employer in my community area. 1,700 people received that basic level of recognition, understanding, training, so that they could hopefully assist in our community, in our workplaces, in our educational system, everywhere, to hopefully prevent this from happening. So I can't give you a number. It's going to decrease it by this, this, or this. But I know that the more people that are aware of it, by the discussion we have here and the work that gets done out there, hopefully that's one life, and maybe a second, that we save
So, ladies and gentlemen, with that, I would ask for your favorable consideration on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. We are voting on third reading amendment number 41. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, please say no.
No.
The ayes have it. According to Rule 11-3, we'll take a roll call. Chief Clerk, please call the roll.
Amendment 41, Allen. Aye. Barlow.
Aye.
Aye. Biteman. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake.
Aye.
Aye. Bovee. Aye. Brown.
Aye.
Aye. Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Clausen.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Court.
Aye.
Crank.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edwards excused. Ackland.
Aye.
Ayer.
Aye.
Flitner.
Aye.
Freeman.
Aye.
Furphy.
Aye.
Giroux.
Aye.
Gray.
Aye.
Greer. No. Haley.
Aye.
Hallinan.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Henderson.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kinner.
Aye.
Kirkbride. No. Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lone.
Aye.
Laux. No. McGuire. No. Madden.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Aye. Nicholas. No. Northrup.
Aye.
Obermuller.
Aye.
Olson. No. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pawnell.
No.
Salazar.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Simpson.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz. No. Stith.
Aye.
Sweeney. Aye. Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters. No. Zwanitzer. No. Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Closing vote. Are there any changes? Pawnell. No to aye. Further changes? Closing vote. The vote is closed. 50 aye, 9 no, 1 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of the members present, third reading amendment number 41 has been adopted. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 1:30.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed say no. House is in recess until 1:30.